Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight I have the most serious and urgent prophetic word that I have ever released.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve
the glory.
And the honor. Father, we love you, say,
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
And the honor. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. You do mighty things. You do glory. You're a faithful God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua. Praise you, mighty Lord, mighty, mighty God. Awesome God, good God we serve. Hallelujah, merciful God. Hallelujah, who's always there for us. And we are thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We are so close to be going home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That shofar, the trumpet, is about to sound any day now. Praise you, Lord. Now is the time to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on the Lord more than ever. I remember years ago, the Lord showed me that when the time will come for the shofar, for the trumpet to be sound, that I will be practically left alone on the Lord's hour. Very few people will still be around. God knew and the people will be overcome with worry and concern, and many even with doubt and unbelief. And that time has come right when the Lord is coming to get his people. We need to be awakened to the hour, my brother and sister, before the trumpet sound, because it's going to sound. And it's going to sound, hallelujah, quickly. And quickly will be the rapture. It will be like in the blink of an eye. My brother and sister, as the word of God says, that's really fast. That is unimaginable, my brother and sister. But God had told us and had confirmed it, had confirmed his word to us through dreams, through visions, that his word is true and that he's about to come for his people, my brother and sister. Lord, I pray for those that are not here, that you will come for them, you will help them, Lord, to persevere, to endure, Lord, to the last minute, to the last hour, Lord, that they will not give up, Lord, on your coming. They will not give up on the departure of rapture of the bride of Christ, Lord, but that they will persevere, that they will endure, that you will help us, O Lord, to endure, to persevere, to continue unto the end, Lord. Before you come, O Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus, and the ones that kill them. Give your people strength, Lord. Give your people health, Lord, to continue to serve you, continue to seek you, Lord, to come closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, the Lord, O God. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, O Lord. We give you glory, O God. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you for your love and your mercy, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. You are awesome, God. You are a good God. Help my brothers and sisters to log in tonight to listen, Lord, to hear this prophecy I'm going to play tonight, Lord, to be awakened of the hour, Lord, of your coming. In Jesus' name, Yeshua's name, Jehoshua's name, we praise, Lord. Send billions and trillions of warriors, angel, archangel, Lord, Lord, north to south, east to west, up and down, in Jesus' name. Mighty Lord, mighty God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. You're awesome, God. You are good, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Yeshua. We thank you, Joshua. Help us to endure. Help us to persevere. Help us to seek you. Help us to serve you, Lord. Help us to commit our life to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, O Lord. Without you, there's nothing we can do, O Lord. You told us in John 15, Lord, that without you, there's nothing we can do. Help us, O Jesus. Help us, O Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeshua's name we pray, Lord. Help your people. Help us, O Lord, to continue in this race, Lord, seeking you and serving you, Lord, seeking thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, heal our life, heal our heart, Lord. Give us victory over the enemy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. We're looking forward to heaven, my brother and sister. Here's what God promised us in Isaiah 65:17. For lo, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in these things, in the things that I shall create. For behold, I will create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people as a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, in joy of my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more hurting her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more a child of years, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for he shall be 100 years old, okay, shall die as young men, but sinner being 100 years old should be a curse. My brother and sister, hallelujah. They should build houses and inhabit them. They should plant vineyard and eat the fruit of them. And I'm looking forward to planting vineyard in the new millennium. That's going to be awesome. I hope I have a big vineyard close to my house in the new earth. That's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. They should plant vineyard, he says. Hallelujah. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant a vineyard and eat the fruit of them. Hallelujah. And they shall not build another habit. They shall not plant in another eat. For as a day as a tree are the days of my people, my elect shall enjoy in old age the work of their hand. We're going to enjoy so much in the millennium, my brother and sister, in the new earth. We're looking forward to that. Thank you, brother. It's important we look forward to the promise of God, my brother, my people, my sister. Verse 23, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth in fear, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord that bought with them. Amen. Yea, before they go, I would answer, and while they speak, I will hear. I've seen this in the millennium. I seen God being there for us right away. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful. It's awesome. Yea, before they go, I will answer. Can you imagine that? That comes to your mind. You want to pray for something, and God already answered you. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. That's what's waiting for us. That's what God has in store for us. How can you look forward to anything else than the promise of God, my brother and sister? How can you look forward to anything else but the promise of God? I will answer while they speak. I will hear, he says. He will be listening to anything we ask of him, my brother and sister. At that very moment, hear. He'll be given to us whatever we ask. because he'll be listening to us, our prayer. Awesome God, good God, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and to the serpent thou shalt be to me, and shall no more hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Oh, I love that. Hallelujah. They will not hurt. Nothing will hurt. Nothing will hurt in God's holy mountain anymore. This is the promise of the Lord to us. And this is what should be, we should be excited looking for this, because this is what God is about to do for us. He is making out a promise. Yea, before they call, I would answer. While they speak, I will hear. All this is for the millennium, and it's so close, my brother and sister. But before that, we're going to heaven to a wedding celebration, my brother and sister, very soon. All this is about to come to pass. I was just listening to this brother on YouTube who had a dream, a rapture dream, and what he shared is so exciting, my brother and sister. I want you to hear a little bit what he has to share about his rapture dream, because I'm going to be playing some audio confirming everything we've been talking about here on the Lord's Hour. Exciting things. Yes, thank judgment. There's judgment coming according to one of the prophets. But this one is talking about a rapture revelation. Listen to him.
And no one is beneath me. And the only thing that's special about me is that I am forgiven. And I am God's dirt. I had a second rapture dream on August 5th, 2020. And this was my second and a very important rapture dream. Now, the dream started out with me sitting in a tall chair in a small clearing in the middle of the woods at night, all alone. And for some strange reason, this did not seem odd to me. It just felt natural and normal for me to be sitting in a chair, and especially with all the problems that I have with my knees. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit told me to pray. So I closed my eyes, I clasped my hands together before me, I bowed my head, and I started to pray. And it seemed as though I was only about 20 or 30 seconds into my prayer when all of a sudden I felt just like I had been shot out of a cannon. I went straight up instantly. But before I left the ground, I was transformed. I was transformed. I received a new glorified body, and then I was just shot out of a cannon. I went straight up, and I just kept going up and up and up. And I kept going faster and faster and faster until I felt like I was moving thousands of miles per hour. And I just kept on going even faster. And I felt as if I were moving faster than the speed of light even. When this first happened to me, I actually gasped for air. I mean, I literally gasped for air. Immediately after that initial gasp for air, I felt a peace and a comfort like nothing could hurt me. And it even started to feel normal in a strange kind of way. Now, I had no idea how long I was traveling up. I never opened my eyes, and time escaped me, as I had no concept of time, not any longer. And time had no meaning for me anymore. Even though I never opened my eyes, it was as if I could see, or maybe I imagined it. I don't know, but in other words, it was in a dream, so... But in my mind's eye, it was like I could see the moon, and I zipped past it. Then I zipped past Mars. I zipped past Jupiter or Neptune at an unbelievable speed. And all the time, I just kept going faster and faster and faster. And then I zipped out of the Milky Way. And then I zipped past the Andromeda Galaxy, and I just kept going faster and faster. And it seemed to me that I was going 100 times, maybe 1,000 times the speed of light. And all the while, I just kept going faster and faster. But I never opened my eyes because, actually, I was afraid to open my eyes because I was afraid I would wake up from this dream, and I didn't want to wake up from this dream, so I didn't open my eyes. But I saw these things in my imagination, in my mind's eye. But then I became aware that, at one point, that I was not traveling any longer, but I was standing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You see that? God is getting us ready for the greatest, for the big, and nothing bigger than going home to the wedding celebration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're about to go. We're about to disappear. We're about to be taken out of the way. The bride of Christ is about to be being taken from this earth. And this is what we should desire. This is what we should be looking forward to, my brothers and sisters. Revelation 19:6, and I heard like a voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of strong thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty, the one who reigns, let us be glad and rejoice. Give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arranged with pure fine linen and shining, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the Lamb's Supper. And he said unto me, These word of God are truth. They're the truth spoken word of God. That authority, that power word of God is being given to us, my brother and sister, because God knew that in the last days, more than ever, we will need his word. We will need his guidance. We will need his encouragement, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Many are going to be awakened through judgment. That's how the Lord showed me back in Massachusetts over 12 years ago, that when the time will come, and this is the time, judgment he will use to awaken the sleeping bride. Because he showed me many will be asleep. And the Lord showed to me that through judgment, earthquakes, he will awaken them. And this is what God is saying through his prophet. Judgment is about to come on the land. But the judgment will be to awaken the sleeping bride. So many are backsliding, okay? But so many are sleeping. And through his judgment, he's going to awaken them. Shalom, Sister Wendy. Thank you, Lord. It's important that we understand that the hour we're in, my brother and sister. We are in such an hour, late into the hour, where the shofar, the trumpet of God, is about to be sound. God has made us mighty promise, and we need to be reminded of them. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The first earth, hallelujah, and the first heaven are not good anymore. They're not good anymore. They're useless. They're passed away. It's like when you take garbage, you put it in your bucket, and then you throw it, my brother and sister, away, or you burn it. It's not good anymore. That's what's going to happen with this earth in this heaven. They're not good. God has given us something better, my brother and my sister. And this is why God doesn't want us to be attached to this earth in this heaven, because they're about to pass away. His word is true, my brother and sister. He said, I saw new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. And there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down out of God of heaven. Prepare us a bride, trim for a husband. Trim, hallelujah, every single cot, every single corner in that city. It's made ready for us, ready for the Lord, ready for his people. The Lord will rejoice in us, as we rejoice in him, my brothers and sisters. God says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God, in the midst of thee, mighty, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Hallelujah. He says to the Jewish people back in the wilderness, in Deuteronomy 39, the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous. Every work of thy hand, the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the cattle, the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, and he rejoices over thy, as he rejoices over thy father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord rejoiced over us, and we will rejoice over his work. Luke 13, 17. He answered and made his enemies shame of themselves, while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things he did. We're going to rejoice over all the wonderful things he has done. 1 Chronicles 16, 9. Sing praise unto the Lord. Tell the wonderful things he has done. Yes, we will. Esther 2, 10, 2. All the great and wonderful things he did, as well as the story of how he promoted Mordecai to the high office, recorded the official record, the king of Persia and Media. Thank you, Lord. He did it with them. Now it's our turn. He's doing it with us, church. Peter says to me at the gate last week, he's waiting for the church that is coming in now, he says. Said Peter to me, Matthew and John and Luke at the gate of heaven. The church is coming in now, last week. Oh, it is so close. It is so close. It is so close, my brother and sister. We should be looking forward to meeting the Lord in the air, because one of these days the trumpet will sound, and it's going to sound so loud. It's going to sound so clear that those that are walking in the Spirit, that have the Spirit of God in them, will hear the sound and will rejoice at that very moment and will be changed and transformed in the blink of an eye. Oh, my Lord, at the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, that's the word of God says. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 9:1, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the wonderful things you have done, says David. Psalm 31:19, how wonderful are the good things you, how do you keep to those who honor you. Everyone knows how good you are, how securely you protect them who trust you. God keeps his people securely protected, those that trust him, the Lord, with all thy heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, because the Lord will keep you protected. Even while judgment is happening, as long as you're trusting in the Lord will keep you and your family protected. No harm will come to thee, okay? No harm, because he will send his angel to keep you. Hallelujah. He had made that promise in Psalm 91, Psalm 4, 45. You have done many things for us. O Lord our God, there's none like you. You have made many wonderful plans for us. I can never speak of them all. Neither number. Hallelujah. It's so great, David says. David could not number the things God has done for him, my brother and sister. Neither will you and I number them. And the time for us to see God's power is approaching every day. When you hear judgment, you're going to experience God's power protection over your life, over your family, you that have trusted the Lord, during the judgment that are coming. His mighty hand will be displayed in your life. You will see it. The wicked will see it for destruction. But you and I will see it for protection. You see the difference? You and I will see the mighty hand of God displayed this close for protection. The wicked will see it for destruction. Hallelujah. But God will not treat the same, the just as the wicked. Let him not be do so, said pray Abraham. He's not going to treat us the same. No, the just he will protect. That's why he's an angel to say Lord and his family. While when he got him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, other angel were there for judgment over Sodom and Gomorrah. My brother and sister, God is so good. And as he said, he was sending his angel. That's why he sent his angel to Lot. That was the proof that God said he was sending his angel to accompany around us and protect us. And he did it with Lot, my brother and his family. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 65:5, you will answer us by giving us victory. And you will do wonderful things to save us. People all over the world, across the distance, see how the distance, see, trust in you, says David. Oh, David experienced God's mighty hand. While Saul looked to kill him with his mighty army, David trusted in the Lord. David ended up having a mightier army than Saul because David trusted in the Lord. While the giant looked to kill people, when God gave David favor, he goes down to the land of the Philistine, and the giant joined David. God made his enemy become his friends, and they become his army, and they were called David, mighty man. My brother and sister, and I was reading that the mighty man of David, when David was old and Solomon was about to be a king, when his other son, Adonijah, proclaimed himself king, the mighty man of David said that they were going to wait on God. They were reminding David that God has said that Solomon will be the king and not his older brother, my brother and sister. And they were there standing by Solomon. And that when Solomon began his kingdom, his reign, he has the most powerful army on the earth because he has giant on his side. David's mighty men were there, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. God has given David favor. He gave Solomon favor too, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. When God who called us will be with us. Psalm 66:3, say to God, how wonderful are the things you do. Your power is so great. Your enemy bow down, hallelujah, in fear before you. Yes, they may not bow down to you and I, but they have to bow down to God. All knee will bow. All tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of God, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. God has said it, and God will fulfill it, because God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man he will repent. He has said it, and it will be so, my brother and sister. Oh, we thank the Lord for his love. We thank the Lord for his mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. For those that did not hear the rapture,
our Father, that the brother which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen and amen. I am just the dust of the earth, and no one is beneath me. And the only thing that's special about me is that I am forgiven, and I am God's dirt. I had a second rapture dream on August 5th, 2020, and this was my second and a very important rapture dream. Now, the dream started out with me sitting in a tall chair in a small clearing in the middle of the woods at night, all alone. And for some strange reason, this did not seem odd to me. It just felt natural and normal for me to be sitting in a chair, and especially with all the problems that I have with my knees. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit told me to pray. So I closed my eyes, I clasped my hands together before me, I bowed my head, and I started to pray. And it seemed as though I was only about 20 or 30 seconds into my prayer when all of a sudden I felt just like I had been shot out of a cannon. I went straight up instantly. But before I left the ground, I was transformed. I was transformed. I received a new glorified body, and then I was just shot out of a cannon. Went straight up, and I just kept going up and up and up, and I kept going faster and faster and faster until I felt like I was moving thousands of miles per hour, and I just kept on going even faster, and I felt as if I were moving faster than the speed of light even. When this first happened to me, I actually gasped for air. I mean, I literally gasped for air. Immediately after that initial gasp for air, I felt a peace and a comfort like nothing could hurt me. And it even started to feel normal in a strange kind of way. Now, I had no idea how long I was traveling up. I never opened my eyes, and time escaped me, as I had no concept of time, not any longer. and time had no meaning for me anymore. Even though I never opened my eyes, it was as if I could see, or maybe I imagined it. I don't know, but in other words, it was in a dream. But in my mind's eye, it was like I could see the moon, and I zipped past it. Then I zipped past Mars. I zipped past Jupiter or Neptune at an unbelievable speed. And all the time, I just kept going faster and faster and faster. And then I zipped out of the Milky Way. And then I zipped past the Andromeda Galaxy, and I just kept going faster and faster. And it seemed to be to me that I was going 100 times, maybe 1,000 times the speed of light. And all the while, I just kept going faster and faster. But I never opened my eyes because, actually, I was afraid to open my eyes because I was afraid I would wake up.
Thank you, Lord. I had that similar dream about 3 weeks ago when I was changing, transforming my dream, and I started going on like he said, like a bullet. And I was going really fast, and I noticed that I could go as fast as I wanted. My brother and sister, I was going faster than light, as he said. And I was in my glorified body as I was going up. And I remember that's when I was able to look to 25, 26, the day of the 25 to the 26. I still don't know the meaning of that specifically. Some people think that they know. But I like to remind you that no man knows the day and hour, okay, when the Lord returneth. So God has said it this way for us to be careful not to try to guess. We will see signs. We will see wonders in the cloud, the sun, the moon. Yes, but guessing the day is very dangerous. My brother and sister, Shalom, Sister Renee. So it's important that we always are reminded that no man knows the day and the hour, nor the son, nor the angel. Only the Lord, my brother and sister. Yes, God said to me that this year judgment will come. The year will not pass until the judgment will come. That I heard very clear from the Lord. Anything else, my brother and sister? Then we got this brother saying march, march, march before it's over judgment. Someone else confirming that judgment will come at the end of this month. And I don't know about that judgment. I have played on the Lord's hour. The man is a man of God. God people are speaking. God has given them that revelation. Mine has been that the year will not pass until the judgment come. My brothers, no specific month, just that the year will not pass. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. No man knows the day and the hour, but we are so close. We know in our spirit that this is very close. I had another dream this week. My dream, my brother and sister, was that a tsunami came up here to the mountain. It was not, the water was not devastating, but the water was coming in backing up slowly. And I was explaining to the brother that in my dream, we got it's called the French River up here in Nashville. And as the tsunami was coming slowly up the mountain, I believe it was the river backing up. Because remember, the force of the water, the tsunami from the sea, is pushing the river back. So the French River was backing up. So it was flooding the city, my brother and sister. To where my chicken outside, I got two chicken coops, one in the ground and one under like 3 or 4 feet. And I noticed that my rooster, where we were trying to escape the water because it kept going up. And so I went, my brother and sister, I noticed that they were outside the coop already. Somehow they got out. They were out. They were not outside the coop. I mean, they were outside the coop, but not on top of this coop. They were trying to climb something else. And what I went is I went to help my rooster because I noticed my hands were dead already. I could not see them. So I assume they were there because I could not see. I can only see my two rooster. I got three hands and two rooster. And so I was trying to save my rooster, my brother and sister, by setting them I'm high so they would escape the water that was coming up. I believe the French River was backing up. my brother and sister. So I almost went to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. When I wake up from this dream, it was 3:35, my brother and sister. I had only been asleep about an hour and a half, now it's 40 minutes. And I'm like thinking, oh, man, I hadn't gotten no sleep, but I was still walking around the house thinking about this dream. My brother insisted. I go back to sleep again. Boom, immediately the Lord takes me to another city. I believe the city was California. It was flat mostly. And people were saying, the tsunami is coming. The tsunami coming. The wave of the tsunami was coming in. And people were trying to escape the wave of the tsunami coming in, my brother and sister. And I could see devastating the home, the houses. It was taking everything in its way, my brother and sister. And I was even thinking, how do people think they're going to escape the way? It's coming in too fast, my brother and sister. By God giving it to me this way, it immediately led me to understand what Joseph said to Pharaoh about his dream, my brother and sister. The Bible says in Genesis 41:25, Joseph answered Pharaoh. Both Pharaoh dreams are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. This is what came to me right away as God gave me a second confirmation of the tsunami, that this is about to happen, and God is making it clear to us that we should be ready, that we should be prepared, because this judgment of this tsunami, my brothers and sisters, are about to begin. And then as I go online on my computer, this woman of God popped up with a message saying that God, in 10 days, God's giving her a 10-day period, there will be judgment on the land. And she's talking about the U.S. She has, God told her he will give her one part to preach, to share, to prophesy. Then he will give her another 2 more days, a second part. So she already put on the second part. I got both parts to play. I need you to hear what God has revealed to her and what is to come. Because God has given her a period of 10 days. It goes all the way to April 8th, according to what she's saying God is giving her. Notice how I got my urgent dream that Joseph said to Pharaoh. Joseph answered Pharaoh. Both Pharaoh's dreams are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. This is about to happen, and this is the way God is answering us, my brother and sister. Okay? He's given us a dream one after the other, like he did with Pharaoh, to confirm that this is going to happen, and it's about to happen. He's about to do this. So the only time they have is to stock up on food. The Lord has been giving us 7 years, I believe, to stock up on food and prepare. And now God is saying, through her and through other people, my people should have been prepared for what is about to come upon the earth. My brother and sister, that is a confirmation. That is a true confirmation of what God says. And then if Joseph says, seven good years are 7 years, and this is one dream. Likewise, the 7 things are evil favor kind. And then he explains to him the dream. Hallelujah. He says, behold, verse 29, come 7 years of great plenty in all the land. And again, there shall be a rise after them 7 years of famine. So he explained 7 good years that we have gotten already in America and the world. And now comes 7 years of famine. How the famine will be displaced is up to God. My brother and sister, we have seen the judgment of dream and revelation, devastating judgment. I believe the first earthquake, the first tsunami is to awaken the sleeping bride. But I remember the Lord saying that after this first judgment, he showed me we came on the Lord Yahweh to do the program afterward. And the chat room was full of people. And the Lord said, many are going to believe after they see the judgment. And they will come. They will flood to your program. The chat room, the program, my brother and sister, is like, it was just full of people logging in. 30, 40, 50 people just logging in. People were logging in like from every state, every country. because this confirmation of this judgment, the Lord showed me, is going to awaken the sleeping. There is a sleeping bride that needs to be awakened, that needs to prepare, that needs to get ready to be going home. Many think these things are not going to happen, but they're going to be shocked and surprised, my brother and sister, because right now they're about to happen. Listen to what the Lord said through his servant.
As well as the light. Now, as I said a few days ago, Father called me to 10 days of consecration, and he instructed me to listen each day for a day of judgment, at 10 days of judgment. All right. And he also instructed me to release the first day today, which is the 21st of March. Again, we will do the same thing we did with the first date. 21, 2 plus 1 is 3, and yet it is the third month, which adds to 33. So I went to look at the biblical meaning of 33. And astonishingly, I found it also represents two things. The number 33 represents judgment as well as promised blessing. So the promises of God is represented in the number 33. The promises of God is revealed as well as the judgment of God. We see again two opposites being revealed. So this is very, very significant. Okay. Now, as I said to you, I am busy with 10 days of judgment. I've received this 10 days, this set of 10 days, I believe is the final judgment that I will speak over mankind. I was also told to release this exactly as I explained, every second day. Now, take note that the last day is on the solar eclipse, the 8th of April. Now, this is a very significant date as well. This is as well the final day of the Muslim holy day, which is a month of fasting. It's called Ramadan. And their final day of celebrating this high holy month to them falls on the 8th of April. All right. The Jewish calendar, according to the Bible, also begins on the 8th of April, because God institutes in Exodus 12, he institutes the first month of the biblical year. Yes, today the Israel keeps it in the seventh month for some reason, but according to Exodus 12, it was the first month of the year, one Nisan. And this begins on the 8th of April. This is also very, very significant. Do you see already the prophetic sign between darkness and light is consistent all over, all through this message? And then, if that wasn't enough, 14 days later, Passover begins on the 22nd of April. All right? Now, we all know, according to Exodus 12, why the Passover, when the Passover was first instituted, was after the 10 plagues. It was given over Egypt, right? 10 plagues were sent over Egypt. And then God, when he sent the final plague, he instituted the Passover so that his people could be saved. That was a very significant. And as I will explain to you tonight, these 10 days of judgment, the Father placed on my heart, that is just like the 10 plagues of Egypt, and that he sees this current kingdom of man as an Egyptian bondage. Right. We refer to it as a spiritual Egypt. So this is all very significant. Why is God doing all of this and showing us these signs and choosing specific dates and connecting those dates to biblical understanding? Because he wants your attention. He wants you to understand how serious this is. He's trying to grab your attention to listen. Because if you don't, it could cost you your life. Please, I urge you, listen to this whole video. Listen to all 10 days, because he not only judges, he also explains why he is judging. And he also gives us the hope, the promise of survival if we follow in his ways. Therefore, please listen. All right. Now, understand that it is significant because of what I'm about to reveal to you, the fact that he calls us spiritual Egypt. I am going to shock many of you tonight. I was shocked when the Father showed me this. In fact, the second day of receiving the judgment, I spent the entire day on my face sobbing. Sobbing to such an extent that I couldn't speak. I was just lying at his feet, sobbing, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And therefore I say, this is the hardest message I will ever have to give you. And I believe it is the final judgment that I will speak over mankind. Listen to the end, because I'm going to reveal to you why he says that our current kingdom of man is likened to Egypt, and why he says that we are enslaved to it. Now, in 2022, I received the first set of judgment upon mankind. This was judgment over all of man. It was a 7-day fire prophecy that the Father gave me. 7 days of consecration, and each day he would give me another day of judgment. I released that in 2022. I will link it below if you want to go see that. Now, in this 7-day prophecy, he prophesied fire every single day, that judgment would fall by fire and the earth would start burning. What happened weeks after was suddenly the earth started burning. What do I mean with this? Many countries, many nations all around the world started burning. In fact, records were broken worldwide in the year 2022, 2023, and even the beginning of this year, where so many nations blazed with fires. Cities were burnt. People died. Thousands upon thousands of hectares were burning all over the world. Canada, America, Europe, Asia, Africa, everywhere it was burning. I actually documented the fires and put it in a video so that you can see that the prophecy was coming to pass. I'll also link that below. This is very significant. Take note. This prophecy came to pass, yet it is not complete. It will continue to be fulfilled. Okay? The earth is going to continue to burn until the days of judgment is complete. All right. Then in 2023, I received another set of judgment. This time, it was 3 days of judgment. And this time, it was all about war. I prophesied that all of the earth would be erupted in war, in a battle, and that we would see World War III breaking out. Okay, now, this was released last year in August. I specifically went to see, is anyone else prophesying it? Is anyone even speaking about World War III? And I could find nothing. Nothing was being said. Yes, Israel was at war, and the whole world was focusing on the war in Israel, but no one was breathing a word about World War III yet. Now, look at the difference today, just a few months later. Everyone is talking about World War III. The newspapers, the government, everywhere, the prophets, everyone is talking about World War III. And not only are they talking about it, but wars have escalated. So many more wars have broken out that is not being spoken of in mainstream media. Yet if you go and look for it, you'll find it. Division, war, civil war, everywhere it is spreading across the globe. And the tensions are high right now. Look at what NATO is doing. For the first time, I think since their inception, or since the Cold War, they are actually coming together to strengthen their armies, building more equipment, getting more ammunition and guns and practicing, literally, for World War III. It's so bad that the Swedish, I think it was the Prime Minister or the President, told his country to prepare for war. He actually told his people to get ready for war. Russia is also expanding their army. Everywhere we look, there is tension. Everybody knows. You don't need to be a prophet anymore today to understand that we are on the precipice of a world war. All right. Now, the Father showed me something significant. He gave me 7 days of prophecy in 2022. And another 3 days in 2023. 7 plus 3 is 10. That again comes to back to the 10 days of judgment given over Egypt. This is significant. And now in 2024, he gives me the final days of judgment upon mankind, and it's 10 days again. This time, please take note, because it is the severest judgment I have ever spoken. In fact, if he had not given me the first 7 days and 3 days, and my eyes had seen that prophecy come to pass, I don't think I would have been able to speak what I'm about to speak. I don't think I would have been able to do it, because it is that severe. It is that intense. But because I've seen God work, because I know that I hear from him, and because I've seen the prophetic word come to pass over and over throughout the years, I know that you need to listen and that I need to warn you. All right. Now, why is God doing this? Because, like I said, he's trying to get your attention. Just as the other prophecies came to pass, so will this prophecy. You need to take note. I want you to understand right now. I want you to understand something. As the Father was ministering to me during these days, he showed me something very, very interesting. He showed me that right now, our current world system, okay, all of the nations included, he sees it as the kingdom of man. Now, if we go back to the book of Daniel and all the prophecies that Daniel spoke, we see the prophetic word spans over centuries. And what is he prophesying about? He is prophesying about the rise and fall of many of men's kingdoms. And in the same way today, we are, in the eyes of God, a kingdom of man. Now, if we look at the beginning of the scriptures to the end, we see the same thread running through the Bible, right from the beginning all the way to the end. We see that there is historical and prophetic accounts of the rise and fall of the kingdoms of men. We also see the most famous one, the very first judgment, is upon the entire earth, and that is in the time of Noah. We know what happened. God judged the entire earth, the kingdom of man, during the time of Noah, and only Noah and his family were saved. That is the severest judgment that God poured out upon all of man. Then we saw Sodom and Gomorrah, and we saw him wipe them off the face of the earth with fire and brimstone, only saving Lot and his family. And unfortunately, his wife was not saved because she disobeyed God. She did not listen to the instructions given to her in order to be saved. Let Lot's wife be an example to us today. There is a way of escape. There is a way to be safe, but you must obey the word of the Lord. Else you will be just like Lot's wife. Then we saw the judgment on Egypt, the kingdom of man called Egypt, and 10 plagues were sent to destroy that kingdom. We saw the same pattern throughout the Bible on many different kingdoms of men, over and over and over. And we can even go back into our historical books and look at our archaeological sites that have been uncovered by scientists. Think about the Mayan kingdom that was uncovered by scientists. They cannot explain what happened to them. They assume they know, but they cannot explain it. The same with so many other kingdoms of men throughout our history, that they found the ruins, they've uncovered it, and they cannot explain what happened to these people. It's like they were just wiped off the face of the earth. The same thing we see in the Bible. We see judgment fall on these kingdoms, and they are either utterly destroyed or their power is broken and they're never the same again. Now, God judged these kingdoms for the evil that they were committing in his sight. What are these evils that he judged them for? Number one, child sacrifice. Many of them were committing child sacrifice. Number two, sexual orgies, adulteries, fornications. They were committing great evil in the sight of God. Number three, idolatry. They were worshipping all kinds of false gods and doing detestable things to worship these gods. Men laying with men and women laying with women, and both of them laying with beasts of the earth. God judged these kingdoms. And God also judged kingdoms for creating things that were evil in his sight. Look at Egypt. Have you looked at the history of Egypt? Look at the pyramids. Can you imagine what kind of technology they had back then? What secrets they had uncovered? What systems? It was so advanced that we cannot even understand it today. They built a great and mighty kingdom, and Pharaoh exalted himself as a god. And then God sent his people there so that he could come and save them and destroy the might of that kingdom. Today, there is no trace of anything. We can only see in their books, in their papyruses and the writings on their walls, that they had these kinds of things. And yes, we can see the pyramids. But all technology that they used back then has been destroyed. There's no trace of it. We don't know what kind of technology they actually had. And yet some scientists say that it's more advanced than anything we actually currently have today. And that's saying something. All right. But what I see is the most consistent reason for God's judgment to fall on an earthly kingdom, the severest judgment of God, where he destroys all of them, is when it becomes so evil in that civilization that it is no longer safe for the most innocent of men, and that is little children. The little children are no longer safe and protected in that society, that kingdom of man. This is a telltale sign that man's evil has reached a point of no return. When little children are no longer regarded as innocent and in need of protection, it is a telltale sign that the evil has reached a cup that is overflowing. Now, throughout the 10 days of judgment, you will again learn exactly why we are being judged. What is going on? What are we doing that is so evil in God's sight? Understand the seriousness of this. It could cost you your life, like I said, or it could save it. Save others. Share this video far and wide. This is how YouTube's algorithms work. Even if you don't share it, please like it. Please comment something, because you need to comment in order for YouTube's algorithms to push this video up. I need to get this message out, even if you just say, God, have mercy, in the comment section. Please help me spread this word. Now, what God has shown me is that we, as the kingdom of man, the current kingdom of man, is reaching a tipping point. God is about to destroy this current kingdom of man and all that we have built, just as he did with Egypt. This current civilization has been judged by the heavenly court, and judgment has been decreed upon man. Judgment has been written on the wall, and there is nothing we can do about it at this point. The only way to survive it is to obey him exactly as he tells us. That's the only way. To do exactly what he tells us to do. If not, like I said, we will be like Lot's wife, and we will not make it. I'm now going to release to you the first day, the word of the Lord, and what he has spoken. And afterwards, I'm going to explain something to you that's going to shock you. But I have to tell you, I have to awaken you to understand what is going on in this world around us. All right. So that is the Lord our God, the great I am.
God says he's going to bring extreme exposures. So when you see these things on TV, please do not say that the world likes to see a good man fall. Please do not send me any email along those lines about how the church is being attacked. When these people are falling, it is the greater one in heaven who is yanking the rug out from under their soiled and their filthy feet as they deserve. They do not deserve to keep standing in front of us, presenting themselves as paragons of righteousness when they are not. They are carrying darkness within them, and they have made the entire church dark and compromised. Extreme revelations, God says. This means that we're going to be hearing things that are going to gag us. We are going to be hearing things that are going to gag us. I know I had more than enough of my fair share in 2022 when the Lord began to speak to me in the middle of the year. I have never gone through such a difficult and trying time as I went through from June to about August or September 2022. I could barely believe the things that God was revealing to me. Yes, I was able to bring them out with professionalism. All the things that people are doing in the church, in Hollywood, in basic high-ranking areas of government, in so many places. Yes, those things are understandable. But for God to start talking about rampant homosexuality in the church, all the wheels fell off my bike. For him to say that it's a pervasive evil, for him to say that the church is greatly gay. He didn't say the church is gay. He didn't say the church is a little gay. He said the church is greatly gay. He said it's from the head on down. He said that it's like a running ripple that comes from the pulpit and runs over the people. You ordinary Christian who's in some of these churches, Jamal Bryan's church, T.D. Jakes's church, and you claim that you start to feel that you are struggling with same-sex attraction. It's coming right from the pulpit. It's coming right from the sweetness of the pineapples that you insist on listening to. As Einstein says, there's cause and effect with everything. It's not of a nothing. You can't say, oh, you know, you go and talk to your mother and say, Mama, you know, I'm fighting something. I'm fighting something. No, you're actually fighting exactly where you're going of a Sunday and for the Wednesday Bible study and the woman thou art chained, because it's definitely not woman thou art loosed. There's a direct correlation between who you're sitting under and the demons that you're fighting. You're broke. You're sitting under these marine pastors. They make covenants with the demons under the sea for wealth. And then the demons under the sea say, well, you're going to need to bring us this and that. We need this many virgins in the church. We need at least 2 accidents per year. And then after you have 2 accidents for the first 3 years and they ramp it up and they need 10 accidents, and all of a sudden that's how you have the roof of Skowen falling down and killing over 100 people. And then the TB Joshua groupies will still say he was a good man. You will be rebellious at the cost of your own soul. Imagine, I always say this because I have a heart for people. Imagine going to hell for someone else's sin. Imagine going to hell for TB Joshua. TB Joshua will already serve his own sentence, but then you're serving next to him and the demons are asking, what are you in for? And you're like, because I was a fool and I would not separate from the warlock who sacrificed people, whose legacy was exposed after death, exactly as the prophet of God said it would be. And you fought for 2 years and then the truth came out, but you fight on because you lack wisdom. This is where we are now. These exposures will come out and people will still fight and say, the church is being attacked. You are absolutely right. The church is being attacked by the arrows of the Lord from on high. Extreme revelations and full exposure. I'm under no illusions. I know these people that God is talking about watch this channel. The attacks that have started coming to me are not out of nowhere. These attacks are actually directed because they seem to tear down the prophetic word of the Lord, but you might as well try to tear down the sun. God will do these things that he says that he will do. Full revelation. This means no stone unturned. This means that it will not be one or two. It will be the kind of shocking lineup that William Cosby showed us that he was capable of. America's dad, Puddin' Pop dad, being accused by almost 30 women or something like that of rape over a lifetime and a career. It will be something like that. God says full exposure and greater embarrassment than anyone can ever remember being experienced in the house of God. So the older people, I guess you are those who know all the scandals of the 50s and 60s. You know where all the bones are buried. I do not have much of an understanding about that. But God says that the shame that's coming now, and it's no surprise why. It's because of the kinds of crimes that the pastors are committing now. In the double parts prophecy that is called, the way of the wicked is darkness and thorns, and the end of the way of the wicked. The Lord named murder as something that pastors will go down for. So it's not just the sexual abuse that they do. It is not just about the secret rituals that they commit. It is not just about the fact that these pastors are practicing everything from vampirism. They're drinking blood. They're eating flesh. They're part of the Baphomet. They're taking oaths in Freemasonry. They're racking up the body count. They're gay. They're sleeping with men. They're taking power from spiritual entities. They're casting spells on the people of God. They are initiating the people in their churches. You get initiated standing under a warlock. You get initiated under someone who's planting hand signs in their video. And then you don't know it because nobody taught you in a church properly. A lot of you have not come up with proper church teaching. You have not had 5 solid years of good discipleship in the same church. And that is to the detriment of your soul. You haven't learned how to develop spiritual discernment. You cannot claim with your mouth that you have spiritual discernment. It doesn't work like that. Spiritual discernment is literally the building up of continued obedience to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God in you is then like a GPS that turns towards what is righteous and turns away from what is righteous. And that's how you know to say, this is not of God. I have often spoken here that in the end times, and Jesus himself said it in Matthew 24, the false Christs, the false prophets will arise and they will deceive many. Do you know how they're going to do it? Do you think they're going to have t-shirts that say, don't trust me, I'm with the Baphomet? These people are going to be raising the dead. God's ministers are going to be raising the dead. We're going to see creative miracles in the end times. I've seen these visions with my own eyes, so I know what I'm talking about. People will grow things back that were not there. God will restore withered hands, and he will grow off things that he will grow back things that have been amputated in the end times. That's what I'm looking towards. I'm looking towards more useful times than these. But the false prophets will also be moving with a power that we can locate. And let me take the time to locate it for you. In 2 Thessalonians, they will be moving there with what the Bible calls deceivableness. Here it is, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's begin to read. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These are some of the most dangerous verses in the Bible. And that's because these verses, if I have to break them down into anything for you, I always call them choose your own ending. Choose your own ending. These words are both prophetic, but they offer a choice. And yet at the same time, they are speaking of two demographics that are locked in. One demographic is those who with all unrighteous deception will perish. This is verse 10. With all unrighteous deception working among those who perish. So there will be those who perish. And why are they going to perish? They're going to perish for two reasons that we can also find in verse 10. The first reason says that the unrighteous deception is going to arise in the midst of them. And that's how they will perish. So this unrighteous deception is listed for us in verse 9. It says that when the lawless one arises, this one who will come and be working with live, active power from Satan, we will see that power, we will see signs, and we will see lying wonders. Verse 9 tells us that there will be power from Satan, signs from Satan, and lying wonders from Satan. And those three things will net together and cause what God refers to as unrighteous deception. And that unrighteous deception will be strong enough to fool some, and they will perish because of it. Examples of that might be man of God, I'm a woman of a certain age, my husband and I are barren, I want children, what should we do? And the man of God is like, go to the sacred river and bathe at 1 a.m. singing this song. So you get in the water at 1 a.m. and you start singing what you don't know is the mermaid's greatest hits. And then those sirens under the sea hear and say, ah, customer number billion, billion, billion. And then by some sorcery, you conceive. And then everything in your life begins to crumble and start to go backward because you have a Nephilim in the house. And when that thing is full grown, it will take its fill of you and the husband and all the other human children in the house. That is what perishing means. I've explained it here many times. No one ever passed away peacefully in their bed at home with their family around them and saying, Mom, we love you. Just be in peace. Dad, we love you. Nobody ever passed away like that, surrounded by love and by peace and by the presence of God's gathering angels. And then they say, Matilda perished this weekend. To perish is to lose your life in a horrific, painful, and graphic way. And what the scripture is saying here is that the lawless one with power, signs, and lying wonders is going to cause some people to lose their life. The second reason that there will be people who perish in these end times when the false ones arise, false pastors, false prophets, and all of them, when they truly come working in these signs, is because it's the choice of the people to perish. Because it says here in verse 10, they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So it means that truth will be available in the end days. It means that there might be someone Who knows who that might be? There might be someone speaking the truth. There might be someone preaching the truth. There might be someone describing the truth in full detail. But it says that people don't love truth, and so they will be unable to receive the truth. This means that they will hear the truth and critique it. This means that they will hear the truth and try to tear it down with smear campaigns. This means that they will hear the truth and say, I don't believe it. Show me the scripture. And they will walk away. And then they will come up to the deception and say, this I like. This is the true spirit of God. I felt the spirit in that meeting. Did you feel that heavy presence? By the way, that will be the demon. The heavy presence, the thickness that they will call the Holy Spirit, that will be the things coming in through the portal that the false pastors have opened in the church. So what God is telling us here is that basically these pastors are going to get caught and exposed for things that we've never heard before. They are going to be doing things that are above what he calls recent memory, and it will bring shame. And it will bring embarrassment. God says more than we can ever remember being experienced in the house of God. The scandals of the past will look like nothing compared to what will be seen on the evening news. And God says that morale in the church will be at an all-time low when he starts cleaning up the church. So basically, all this that you have heard so far is going to be the Lord orchestrating it. The Lord is going to be doing this for the sake of his own name. The Lord is zealous for his name. The Lord is zealous for his church. He's zealous for his reputation, and he's zealous for his word. But what he's saying here is that when he is doing the good work of purging the church, which many of us have been praying for many years, it says that church morale will drop. And that always happens when there's discipline. Even in human families, when a parent is disciplining the children, they're not laughing, they're not happy, they're not enjoying it. It's not fun. The church is going to be feeling very low. And one of the reasons for that, we move on to the second paragraph. God says that the shepherd and the flock alike will be exposed by the Lord for deeds, crimes, predilections, and falsehoods. And when this is happening, this is the purging I just spoke of, God says that the world will see how vulnerable his church is and they will pounce. So now we're talking of blazing headlines. We're talking Eddie Long Part 2, 3, and 23. We are talking banner headlines in the major newspapers of the world, whatever the major newspaper is in your country. When the false pastor gets caught for doing gold deals on the side, when the false pastor gets caught for finding human bones buried under the altar, having sacrificed a small child and placed the carcass under the altar so that the blood that is shed under that altar will draw people by some supernatural demonic covenant. When they start digging up, like they were digging up that pastor's compound in Kenya and finding 100 and then 200 dead bodies, showing the lengthy history of that pastor in killing members and then burying them on the church property. Jim Jones cults being exposed, cults that may exist right now and we don't know about them. God says that we're going to be the news of the day. It's not going to be about the NASDAQ and the FTSE. It's not going to be about Russia and Ukraine. The church will be bringing up the top of the headlines. Supernovas, the hottest pastors, falling. In America, we're going to bear the brunt of it because you know we export the famous pastors here. Nobody's pastors are more famous than America's pastors. And so when they fall, it won't be with a little thud. It will be with a massive wham thump that will be heard around the world. When they start being exposed for being gay, do you know how many people's faith is going to be shaken when these pastors are exposed for lesbianism, when these pastors are exposed for same sex, when their unwilling victims finally find the courage and bring lawsuits, and those lawsuits are publicly available on the internet and can be downloaded by anyone with a device, so that every salacious detail, God did say, full detail, full exposure that will cause greater embarrassment than has ever been experienced before. So maybe in the past, We didn't get all the details because this was a pastor. Maybe it would be a closed docket, but not anymore. If Epstein's list can come out and everybody can see names as they're already going to see names and see whatever, then why would the pastors be protected? Why should pastors be protected if everybody else faces the full censure of the law? If pastors want to be protected, they should walk in the way of their God who protects the righteous, but will no, by no means cover the guilty. God is just. God cannot come and participate in a pastor's unrighteousness just to prove that he's a loyal father to a son who does not want to be himself loyal. And so God is saying that the flock will be exposed. So Christians, many will have their day in the church. Many will have their day in the church as their sin is exposed along with the shepherd's sin. The things they do, crimes. Do you know a deed is different from a crime? In America, being same-sex is not a crime. Being same-sex with a child is a crime. Being opposite sex with a child is a crime. So people will be exposed for being same-sex. That's a deed. People will be exposed for being same-sex with minors. That's a crime. A predilection is something that you do. It's a continuous habit that you practice, like stealing from the church offering as the deacon or as the sister who collects the finances, as the church accountant. A predilection is looking at pornography. These pastors are actually lacking the moral fortitude, the shame, to even repent of the pornography. One recently got caught and he was standing in front of his congregation and he was saying that he's just a man. Imagine. He's just a man. Is this not an affront to all the men who do not look at pornography? All the men who bridle their flesh and they don't give in to temptation or their baser nature? Are they camels? Are they not men too? Pastors are justifying the sin, and then the church is enjoying their new role as that those who absolve pastors of sin. So the pastor doesn't even bother to ask for forgiveness. He will simply say, I'm just a man. And then the church will say, but you know, we're all just men. We're all just human. And so God says that the world will see the church at its most vulnerable, and of course they're going to leap, they're going to pound on us. God says that the commentary that the church will experience as these scandals continue breaking will come from within the church and without the church. So people inside the church are going to be talking, people inside the church are going to be making comments, people inside the church are going to be saying, but I always knew it, and my grandmother dreamt about this day that was going to come, and she warned all of us to leave that ministry, and we left, and now there they go down in flames and smoke. People inside the house and outside the house are going to be talking, and guess what? This is going to be one of the things that kicks off the great falling away, because the Lord says people will be so demoralized. Many, many people. Most of us have no idea how many weak Christians there are among us, and that's because it's easy to be a weak Christian now. We have so much access to the internet. We have so much stuff to read, and we have so many little AI voices that say, fall asleep listening to Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. So you lay there, and that AI is reading to you, and you just feel that I have Jesus, I'm doing well, until there's a financial crisis, until Russia loses a bomb here, and then all of a sudden you can't charge the phone, no AI for you, now you don't know how to read Genesis by yourself, and now it's a different kettle of fish. Now it's time to put the pedal to the metal. Now we're no longer running with the young men. We're running with the horses. And God told Jeremiah, if you can't handle running with the swift boys, Jeremiah, I prophesy to you that you're going to have a hard time with horses, because it's very hard for a man to keep up with the horse. This is a prophetic metaphor that if you can't cope now when not much is happening, what are you going to do when prophecies begin to break forth? When seals of God begin to break forth like rippling volcanoes and rippling earthquakes along the ground, it will take a special man, a special child, a special woman to be able to keep up with prophetic events. Once they are let loose, you're going to need to have that extra something that comes from God alone. And so many people will be demoralized, and they're going to leave the church over the kinds of things that will be revealed. And God says no details will be spared. This means that we will get witness testimony of what the pastor did, where he touched, how many times he did it, and to whom, male and female. No details will be spared. Tonight, in a shocking expose, the pastor of the AME Zion Church exposed for sleeping with mothers and daughters in a bizarre occultic ritual that he called mending the family. Tonight at 8. We're going to hear it all across the world, in every culture, in every place, things that are unthinkable. Pastors are going to do it. Their leaders, their inner circle are going to be exposed. The Lord says that the media will have a field day. When you say the media will have a field day, that means that the story is so juicy that the Wall Street Journal, that doesn't usually care about that kind of thing, will be able to bring in what's going on with the pastors from an economic point of view. People magazine will bring it in from an entertainment point of view. The gossip rags will bring it in because that kind of thing moves a lot of units. It sells a lot of copies. Washington Post is going to cover it. New York Times is going to cover it. They're going to be brutal because we know that the world does not love the church. The world doesn't want to see us be great. The world doesn't want to see us prosper. The world rightly sees us as highly compromised. And so when God steps aside, removes the covering from us, and allows the visible evidence of how much rot we have, church, we're going to be embarrassed, and rightly so. We deserve it, rightly so, because we cover sin. We don't do righteousness. When the victims speak, we say that, no, you're just trying to smear a mighty man of God. You people that are still defending T.D. Jakes, you are going to be so ashamed when you stand in front of Jesus. You are going to be so ashamed and so regretful that you will not know where to put your faces. That after the Lord says, this person has been a Judas to him, which is one charge, but then he has also harmed people. He is actively serving Satan, and you continue to stand there and go, go on, Bishop, go on. You are the worst type of person in the house of God. You are, in fact, the reason that these types of judgments come upon us, and I will tell you why. When a man is overtaken in trespass, if you study the writings of Apostle Paul, Apostle Paul was a man who strongly advocated for repentance and rehabilitation. He strongly advocated that when we commit sin, we owe God an apology as a rite of passage. And he said that if we double down and we triple down and we do not want to repent, the church should have no problem in cutting us off. Cutting us off. He said that the church should not have fellowship with us, should not even eat with us. He was adamant about that. He was a man who truly believed in keeping the garments of individual believers and the garments of the church as a whole clean. And so he would always advocate, put the spots away from you. But then the same man would say, you then who are holy, you then who are righteous, restore such a one in a spirit of love. Apostle Paul was one who felt that men should know their sin. Because when a man knows his sin, he is shamed. And when people are shamed, they are that much closer to the beautiful path called repentance. We don't have shame today. When sin is judged, people stand up and say, stop shaming him. It's a crime now to speak of sin. Speaking of sin is now called shaming. It has a new name. It has a new designation. Excuse me, please. It is now called shaming. And so whoever will stand up and condemn sin in the church is now told to be silent because they are lifting themselves up as a judge and they are shaming someone. And when the pastors see that the balance of power favors them, that people don't want to talk about their sin, that people don't want anyone to hold them accountable, guess what? The pastors feel no remorse. The pastors feel no righteous shame. And because they don't feel anything, they don't self-correct. And then you know what happens after that? They continue in the sin. And they continue in the sin and continue in the sin until one day the Lord sends a celestial to say, this day your life has been required of you. You are now going to be put into Hades. You are now going to be put into darkness. That is what happens when you prevent the process of people repenting. That is what happens when you support sin. When you suggest to a sinner that he has done no wrong, he owes no apology, He's only human. You harden a person in sin. And the more of you who do it, you raise up these men like gods unto themselves. And this is why God will then strike them, and then you will have no idols to worship. So in other words, you have created your own end. You are responsible for why you will have no pastors, no bishops, and no firehouse, and no whatever else. God will root them out. Because when God is attempting to reach them and get them to repent, you prevent it. You are the white blood cells that fight the righteous rebuke of God and say, no, it shall not be. They shall live for 50 more years. So, no detail spared and the media having a field day with church scandals. Scandals, plural. Which means the media will not run out of print material for a very long time. If you want to know more about this, you can look at the prophecy that is entitled Peanut Butter. It is almost identical to this message. God says that hundreds and thousands of people, leaders in the church, and also the people who work closely with them, their inner circle, will be exposed. So when these people are going down, the curious case of Robert Kelly, the musician who was out there sleeping with everybody under the age of 18. When this man went down, for some reason he went down alone, even though there was more than ample evidence to not suggest, but prove that there was no way that R. Kelly could have procured all the children and all the young women that he grouped into this at-will harem that he was eventually convicted for. He had an inner circle who would be his spotters, the men who would see, ooh, he would like that one, and oh, that's his type. They would take it upon themselves to go and talk to these young girls and lure them close to this very incandescent star. R. Kelly had a very, very, very bright star because this man is extremely talented. Lure these young girls into his web, close enough for him to then get his hooks into them, get them away from their parents, from their guardian, and then join them to his circle of abuse. R. Kelly did not work alone, but R. Kelly went to prison alone, and this is a very curious flaw in the criminal justice system. But God is saying here that when the leaders are exposed, the inner circle is going to be exposed too. So this prophecy is basically telling you that when you see these pastors going down, look for them to create some kind of a funnel into which they will fall. And all those who were empowering them, all those who were searching out the young boys for them, all those who were handling perhaps the beating of prostitutes or the killing of trans, a lot of these pastors like man women. A lot of these pastors are gay. But I guess they're holding on to two shreds of delusion that they like women. And so they will go for these men who present as women to have the best of both worlds. So all the people who are responsible for covering up the beating up of the trans person by the pastor, the killing of the gay call boy by the pastor, the hiding of all the evidence of the trail of underage minors that have been defiled by the pastor, the inner circle is also going to be exposed at the same time, and may the holy name of Jesus Christ be blessed. There will be so many scandals and open discoveries and secret intrigues and exposés brought to life. And God says the reason for this, the reason he's uncovering these people, please listen, the reason that God is finally giving these people up, to those of you who think that God is so unmerciful that the very first time that God has spoken to these people is through celestial here. God never, ever, ever will bring down his high, high, high appointed leaders without speaking to them numerous times. He will speak to them in person through the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit. Then that gentle nudging will come persistent. And then this persistent nudging will become strident commands to turn and sin no more. Each and every single one of you who's a true Christian knows that that's how God works with us. So it's so disingenuous when you come here and start saying facetious things like, have I called them and speak to them? Why would I call them and speak to them? What part of prophecy is that? Which Bible verse says, calleth them and havest thou the conversation? The Lord has already gone ahead, spoken to them. We all saw the tape, that prophecy that came for Eddie Long shortly before he was excused. That was the window that God was giving him to stand in front of the church and confess. But what did he do? What did he do? He stood in front of the church and obfuscated. brought in a false friend to falsely prophesy that he could foresee enemies against the church, and the church has enemies, and the church is going to be rocked, and the enemies of the church. Why not just confess? He couldn't confess because he had a support backing system. He couldn't confess because of pride, and he couldn't confess because the clapping of the people is like opium to these pastors. That's why in the previous prophecy, I said, ministers, be very careful. The praise of people can destroy your testimony, which is why I do not engage. Heaven is too expensive for human praise to cost me my crown, the results of my labor that I've worked for. Ministers, be very careful. The mouths of these people is like opium. Don't be deceived by it. Keep your eyes frontward. Nod and say, God bless you and thank you, and let it end right there. Don't let it enter your heart. It is a corrupting yeast that will spoil you. And one day, a prophet, a prophetess will show up and start reading your name out of nowhere, and you will remember that somebody warned you. God is allowing them to be exposed because it's time for the old guard to leave, because they would not respond to the gentle nudge, to the insistent nudge, to the very loud and strident voice. And then a close friend will speak and say, the Lord came to me in my prayer time. The close friend never comes on stage to give you a prophecy. By the time your prophecy is public, you have failed the test. You have jumped the gap where God wanted you to stand and confess to the people and say, there's something that I have to tell you. I want to be the one to tell you. Before the news, before CBS tells you. He didn't do it. Many of these pastors, they miss that gap. They think they're too big to mind the gap. They think God will never expose them. But God is going to get rid of them because God says that he's raising up new servants. The old are on their way out. And if the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't clean up, as this process is taking place, God is going to use fuller soap and a very harsh refiner's fire on the church. The refiner's fire is not like normal fire. The normal fire that you have in your house if you have a gas hob, the normal fire that you have in the fireplace if you have a fireplace, the normal fire that you may use outside for a barbecue, or you might use it in those tiny little woodsman stoves and things like that. That's not the fire. That's the kind of fire that human beings can handle. They can be exposed to it. They can poke at it with a stick and they can deal with it with tongs and things like that. You use the hob and you turn it up and down. That's controlled normal fire. The refiner's fire can go all the way up to 1800 degrees Fahrenheit. When the refiner's fire has risen, it modulates between 1600 degrees Fahrenheit and 1800 degrees Fahrenheit. That's inconceivable heat to us. This fire is used to purge and separate metals in a purification process. That's why it's called refiner's fire. The metal is put in to be refined. And the refiner's fire is never burned in a hearth. It will never be contained in something that's open like a fireplace or like a barbecue pit or something like that. It's always taking place in a furnace. And I'm sure when I say the word furnace, you can imagine these big industrial plants where they have these huge pot-bellied vats that are heated up with bellows from beneath until inside it just looks like hell. The metal is red, yellow, liquid, white bits. And they're heating it up for a reason. Most metals are not found in a pure form. They're found blended and mixed with all sorts of things that scientifically they call it alloy, but we will call it dross. Talking spiritually, the dross is all the things that are mixed in with the pure metal. And for us, God repeatedly takes individual Christians through this process because he wants us to be pure. God wants us to be free of the way the world thinks. Many Christians are extremely worldly in their thinking. In fact, the things that people write under my videos, I can just tell that you have never been near a real Christian altar before. Like the scripture says, nobody ever washed you with the word, with the water of the word, because the way that you think and the way that people express themselves, the things that they say, but why is this? And it's not fair. And why would God do this? And things like that. I can just tell that nobody has taught you who Jesus is, how the church works, what the Bible is even about from beginning to end. So that's something. And so a true child of God, you will have to go through the refinement process. For us, the refinement process is called sanctification. None of us comes perfect. And as long as you are mixed with dross, do you know what happens? You can't move in actual power. Your prayers are kind of like limp spaghetti. People who have a lot of dross in them, when they pray, sometimes the prayer works and sometimes the prayer doesn't work. And as a Christian, it can be very demoralizing and it can be very confusing. Why am I praying? And then sometimes I get a victory. And then sometimes I think I've prayed exactly the second time the way I prayed the first time. But then nothing is happening. Nothing is taking place. I'm not getting anything. It's very likely that you have dross in your life, some area of compromise in your life, some area where because your mind is dark, you don't have spiritual understanding. It's impossible for you to win the tennis match against the devil in that area. Satan has just keep acing you until you lose. And so, refiner's fire, the heating process is carefully balanced. And the fire is lifted, meaning that it's increase, because it's only trying to affect the impure parts that are clinging to the metal. So they're not going to just heat up the furnace and burn up the silver and burn up everything and it cleaves and then the silver just becomes one horrible ball. No, they know the perfect heating point for the silver. So what they're doing is they will gradually heat up that furnace. And every time they heat it up, a certain class of dross, a certain class of alloys will let go. The heat becomes too much for them. This is why if you have demons, if you simply increase the amount of time you spend praying in tongues is a fantastic way to make demons so uncomfortable that they will begin to manifest. And when they start manifesting, then you can move into the part where you start praying in English, casting them out. Praying in tongues is a fantastic way to make the devil uncomfortable. Another fantastic way is to simply have real praise music in your house, real worship music. And if you wonder what real is, it does not contain a lot of the skippity-bippity-bops that people listen to and love and just say, oh, no, that's not worship music. Real worship music is calling out for Jesus Christ, is exalting Jesus Christ, and is not saying, my heart was down, and it was about me, and I was running, and he was chasing me. That is just foolishness. Real worship music that centralizes Jesus Christ is excellent for purging the atmosphere of the Christian's home. It's excellent. If Saul had his demons and David was there playing real anointed music, what used to happen? It used to calm the demons. It used to give the man peace because the demons were tormenting him all the time. If anyone had dross, it was King Saul. So gradually the refiner's fire is being turned up. And at every stage when it turns up, a certain class of impurities, it loosens from the metal. And then they carefully pour it out of the furnace. They carefully pour it out. They don't need that. It's useless. You don't need porn. You don't need lies. You don't need to be a fornicator. You need to stop having affairs. You need to stop gossiping. You need to stop dressing like a whore. Many things. As you turn up seeking God in your life, you will stop having the taste for many things. And then the Lord will prompt you to go into a season of repentance and to pour it out. Pour it out, church. So that you can go to heaven. Pour it out so that you can be acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. So then they turn it up again. And some of these impurities will burn right away. Some of them even turn to gases, which is why those men are kitted out in that place. Because very noxious gases can sometimes get trapped in rocks and trapped in metals. And then when they're melting it, all those fumes start coming out. The refiner's fire is a very dangerous place to be for someone who is not skilled. But Jesus Christ is an expert in refinement. And so they heat it up and pour out, And this is the purification process for the metal, the same purification process for us. And eventually, all the impurities will be poured off and you will be left with only the heavy, pure metal beneath in the furnace, which is what you desired anyway. So God is basically saying that all these scandals, these exposés, and everything that would be so painful for the church groupies to go through, if the church groupies can just hold on and understand why God is doing these things, the church groupies might have a shot at becoming real Christians as they go through the refiner's fire. The other thing that God says that he's going to bring to the church as this process is going through, as we are being purged, this prophecy is called the purging of the church, is the Fuller's soap. Fuller's soap is not like the soap that we use today. Fuller's soap is an ancient soap that they used to use. I don't know if they still make it, but I've always found it a very interesting thing that God uses in the church. It was an extremely harsh and alkaline soap. It was something like lye. It was a very harsh soap, and it was not good to leave exposed on the skin. The soap that we have today is very emollient. So we're buying soap and we're making sure, does it have cocoa butter and does it have palm fats and does it have shea butter? We want to make sure that the soap that we're using on our skin is extremely emollient, meaning is it very lubricating and moisturizing to keep skin soft and care for it. But Fuller soap is not for skin. It is for clothing, and it was used for purifying wool during the wool process when they were preparing it. The stench of this soap was so strong and so chemical that you could not use it indoors. You had to use it outdoors. So can you please look at these two examples? The refiner's fire cannot be kept in the house. It can't be kept within a residential area. You can't have it in your hearth. You can't have it on your stove. You can't have it in your little barbecue. It is taking place in a large refinement place. Fuller soap was the same. It was so stenchy and so strong in chemical that you had to use it in the field. Do you see the picture? All of you who have constantly been on my case about why don't I contact these people and tell them in private. And here is God saying that the process is going to be public. They used to use the Fuller's soap in a large open field where everybody could be driving by with their horse and buggy or walking along the rope and would see the Fuller's outside. These were, again, trained men. Let me show you where I'm pointing. These were trained men who were using this soap. And they would come and gather all the dirty clothing, or they would take out all the wool to a very big field so that as the breeze is blowing, they are also not affected by the chemical smell. My goodness, this is such a blessing. So we're out here doing the master's work, bringing the refiner's fire and bringing the Fuller soap. And God will make sure that the wind of his spirit keeps blowing over us who are doing this work so that we are not choked by the stench of what we are working with. We are not depressed by all the human trafficking and the children getting sodomized by dogs that we have to see in our dreams. He will keep our nostrils fresh with a fresh wind so that we can be able to continue this work that we are doing in a very public way for the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory. He would take the work out. The Fuller and his workers would take the soap and the dirty implements, the dirty wool or the dirty clothing out to a large field so that there could be space for the breathers for the beaters to work and not breathe in the fume. And the reason that they called them beaters was because they were not beating clothes. They were not washing the clothes by hand. Because I said the Fuller soap is very alkaline. It's harsh. You can't put your hands in it. And they didn't have good gloves by that time, back in the days. You would put the Fuller soap on, and then the beaters would stamp on the clothes, and they would also beat it with rods. Church, who promised you that the purification process had to be gentle? I've seen many of you. You've been watching for a year, and now you start to come back, and you say, whew, Celestial. God really had me in a season. He had me in a chokehold. That's how I know that you've been with the Lord. That's how I know that you've been out there getting the right thing done. You're not going to be coming back here and telling me I was in a season with Father. There's nothing like that. God will put you through the ringer. He will put you through the furnace and then put you through the refinement fire and put you through the Fuller soap so that you can come out shining and with no crimson stains on you. They would stamp on the clothing. they would step on it and they would beat the clothes with rods. And that's how they cleaned it. And two prophecies that you can look at for this, where God says that every living soul on this planet is going to be tried. One of them is called, I will try them by fire. Good and evil, wheat and tares will be tried by fire. So that's one title. The other one is called the year of the test. And the other one is called a word to the righteous. You can watch those three. And then the Lord said that for some, it's already too late. He said it's already too late and it's time for their shame to come out. This means that God knows that these people are not going to be rehabilitated. So this is the no chance people. Many of them, I've named their names here already. For some, it's already too late. It's already time for their shame to be known. Things that people have done, Jesus is absolutely fed up with. Things that leave no more room for mercy or rehabilitation because of their severely wicked nature. Yah will expose those things with no protection and will leave that person or persons in the hands of the law, media, and society to be burned publicly at the stake and basically torn to pieces. So here the Lord is saying that there is such a thing as expiry of grace. If the Holy Spirit says that it's already too late for someone, then the question we need to ask ourselves as the listeners of God's word is, who is able to say that there's an extension of time after God says that it's too late? We really need to be sober-minded when we're listening to the Lord's word. We need to be so careful of our approach that we don't transgress against God. I know that there's a very large contingent of people who transgress against God knowingly. That's because they have no fear of the Lord. They have no knowledge of who God even really is. And this last generation is the most ill-prepared that I've ever seen to honor God, to respect God, to know what God wants, to know God's ways, to stay within the boundaries that are respectful of God as sovereign and king, but also, let's be honest, a great spiritual entity that none of us truly understands in full. We know God in part. We know in part. It is only when we are reunited with him, those of us who stay the course and keep his way and enter in through the narrow gate and stay on the straight road. When we are reunited with him, then we will know in full even as we are known. But for now, we know in part. But why aren't most of us obedient to the parts that we know? Why don't we honor the Lord as we should? Why don't we hallow him? Which means we have a working apprehension that he is sacred. God at one point presented himself to Moses as a burning bush. This is something that none of us have ever seen in real life. This was a one-time only occurrence that Moses alone, nobody else was there to see it. Moses documented his own experience that he encountered the Lord as a fire that at the same time did not consume the bush that it lighted upon. A beautiful picture of the Lord, how he comes upon mortal things. And even though he has a form that can be destroying, in his greatness, he may not destroy. The bush was not consumed, but Moses documents for us that it was real fire. Why is it that us now in this generation, we do not have an apprehension of God as a great spiritual entity, a oneness, a personage that we don't really understand, and therefore we must check ourselves in how we deal with him. A great illustration would be this. The Lord is a king. If your father was a king, when he's dad at home, this means when he's not sitting in state, when he's not sitting in his throne room, surrounded by his advisors, surrounded by perhaps other visiting kings and queens. There's a way to approach when your father is in that state. You wouldn't go running up to him and say, Daddy, Daddy, and just start doing everything. Why? Because this is a different setting. And then there's a way when your father has taken off his crown for the day, you can approach, you can knock on his door, and you can say, Father, can I have a moment alone with you? That part now is the sweetness of privacy between a man and his God, a woman and his God. And then when we have God in the corporate setting, this is God in the church, why are we starting to behave more and more like satyrs and goats and the Peter Pan goat effigy? Why are we starting to be so disorderly in the Church of Jesus Christ? Why are we so disrespectful about the things of God? Why is it that when we see a man or a woman seated and speaking about the things of God, that's the time that we feel motivated to open our mouth and say everything and say anything that comes to mind, to speak so carelessly? Do you not know that when you die, everything that you've written on the internet, you will answer for it? Do you think that internet words, social media words, don't count towards "and you shall give an account of every word that you have spoken"? Do some of you know what you said all over the internet? Have you kept track of everything that you've written? All your mocking emojis, all the laughing emojis, all the things that you've said, all the comments that you've made. The Lord is saying for some people it's already too late. That means that it's already in the pipeline. It's already time for their shame to be known. That means that their judgment is not being locked in now as I'm bringing this prophecy, because this prophecy is merely from, this one is from September 19, 2023. It's 6 months ago. This prophecy is not becoming, God is not deciding on it now on this day that I'm making it, March the 21st, 2024. God is actually saying that a decision was taken some time ago and it was coming down the pipeline, and then it finally reached my little desk and I was told, release the word. And the word is, it's already too late. It's already time for their shame to be known. Things that Jesus is absolutely fed up with, things that leave no room for him to have mercy anymore or to even rehabilitate these people anymore. Why is it? Because of their severely wicked nature. Let me tell you something about your Baphomet pastors that you love so much. Since it's not adding up, 2 + 2 is giving you 22. Let me help you out. When a person eats human flesh, they jump over a line that they may or may not have known is there. This is different from the human flesh in the McDonald's that they're mass feeding those who won't leave that food alone. When a person knowingly goes to an occult ritual and is told, this is baby and this is child virgin blood, and they participate in it, there's a shift that has happened up here that the majority of us cannot connect to or comprehend. Because if we could connect to it or comprehend, there would be absolutely no reason that I see so many young people on TikTok watching the TikToks as people are trying to expose about the human trafficking, expose about the elites eating babies, and then they're like, man, that's wild, smiling, laughing emoji and cracking jokes. This generation is completely desensitized to death. Young people, I hope that there will be some kind of barrier on Judgment Day that separates the rest of us from you. Because it is going to be terrifying to be present, to witness your lack of empathy being judged by a God who is so empathetic that at an abortion, when the baby's last breath goes, Jesus is feeling that thing. And yet you are the highest demographic that are cutting these children off. There needs to be some kind of barrier. There needs to be something from Psalms chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 that says the unrighteous will not stand in the same company of, in the judgment of the righteous. The righteous will have their own judgment, but there shall indeed be a separation. Because the godlessness that is on the earth is terrifying to a sensitive person. It is terrifying to see what people find funny, what people find as mere conversation. It's frightening because some of us are Judgment Day minded. We're weighing our choices in life based on Judgment Day. Do I really want to have to deal with this when I'm raised to life? Do I really want to have a conversation about this? You have this much time on earth to determine where you're going to spend that much time out of this body. God says that he's leaving these people now. They can't be rehabilitated. He says their nature is severely wicked. Do you know what this means? Nature is how you are. When a family member says, oh no, leave her, she sleeps in, that's just how she is, they're actually making reference to something that is ingrained in you. She's always been a late sleeper. Leave her. We always let her sleep in. Don't worry about waking her up for the hike. I know we're on holiday and we booked this hike for 8 a.m., but Janet sleeps in late. That's her nature. God is saying that there are people in the house of God, specifically in leadership, whose very nature has shifted from what is common to man. It is not common to man to have sex in the backside. It is not common to man to partake of flesh and blood as a meal. It is not common to man to sleep female to female. It is not common to man to cut your breasts off and say you feel more like a man. God is saying here that nature has shifted into wickedness. He's not saying he can't fix it. He's saying something worse than that. He won't fix it. So then who are you that are always out there fighting with your words? Who are you to fix it? By what authority can you fix it? With what power will you fix it? You that are made of dust and water. No fear of the Lord. No idea of where the boundaries are. He says that he will leave these people in the hands of the law. The cops are going to come and pick them up. The FBI is indeed going to bring charges. He will leave them in the hands of the media. I've already discussed that the press is no friend of the church. And as we fall, they jubilate and they write foot-long headlines. Pastor found in bed with teen. They will leave no holds. It will be no holds barred from the media. And he says he will also leave them in the hands of society so that every single person will be asking, have you ever been swallowed up? Have you ever been through a time of swallowing when you were overwhelmed and it was overwhelming? He will leave you in the hands of society. Society is social media. Society is these kids and the meme generators. Society is anyone being able to have any take, and you lose the protection of the mantle of God that rests upon every fivefold minister. Every fivefold minister is given an unseen spiritual covering by the Lord. And when he takes that thing off you, you are no longer standing in the vanguard. You are no longer counted among our number. There are many people who are standing on pulpits. That thing is gone off them. The minute I see them, the minute they open their mouth, I know God isn't with you anymore. God left Saul. Saul sat on that throne and he ruled for almost a decade more. He chased David for 16 whole years and yet God left him. But he still sat in the seat as the king apparent. And yet, glory of God, the sanction of God, this means God puts his hand on you and says, this is my own. I've raised this up to serve me. Saul lost it. He had an apparent kingship and God was not with him. But he was still sitting in the seat. There are people who still have churches. They still have broadcasts. They're still hosting conferences. There's nothing there. There's nothing but dead air. And if you keep going there, you will inherit what dead air gives you. Flatulence. And so people will be handed over to the law, to media, and to society to be burned publicly at the stake and basically torn to pieces. And now we move to the prayer call. This part is just called the prayer call, March the 15th, 2024. And the first thing that the Lord was saying as we were praying, this prayer call was just so explosive. And like I said, I did not bother. I did not record this one. I was praying in another part of my house. I was nowhere near my materials that I usually record with, and I was not going to stop that particular flow to go and set up everything and start. And so it was just recorded by others on the line. They are kind enough to take notes, compile the notes, and then I bring them, pray over them, and then I can share with you what people managed to capture, because at that time I won't be writing, I'll just be speaking. And God says that the worship leaders of today are motivated by Jezebel. The worship leaders and the gospel artists are motivated by the Jezebel spirit. So this is a seducing spirit, and it is also a very controlling spirit. People usually just know one aspect of the Jezebel spirit, which is the controlling nature. And because in the Bible, historically, Jezebel was a woman, it is mistakenly believed that only females can have the Jezebel spirit. That is not so. The Jezebel spirit is simply referring to any spirit that is situated high enough to be in a leadership, rulership, powerful or influential role, and it seeks to control and corrupt against what is godly. So it's not going to be, oh, she's trying to control our marriage, just it's a Jezebel spirit. No, it's not that. That's one small aspect of it. Yes, Jezebel greatly controlled her husband, and that's because the Jezebel spirit will always pop up wherever the man is weak. You marry a weak man, literally in a matter of years, you will find the wife knowingly or unknowingly manifesting that thing, controlling the man, nitpicking him, putting him down, and things like that. And that is because Ahab literally loved it there. There is no indication in scripture that he hated the way that his wife treated him. In fact, when things didn't go right for him, he went right back to her in mommy syndrome for her to fix it. That's because he deferred to her power. Jezebel was the more powerful of the two in the dynamic. He knew that she would fix it. And we have evidence in the text. She killed Naboth for his vineyard. She told her husband, oh, is that the only problem? You want something that belongs to someone else? Don't worry, mommy will get it for you. And the man was dead before sundown. And his ancestral property was taken and given to her little boy husband. So that's the lower aspect of this thing. When God is talking about Jezebel being in the sanctuary, in the worship leaders, in the gospel stars, in the gospel musicians, it is a very dangerous thing. And that's because Jezebel's number one function is to kill the prophetic spirit in the church. This is going off into other territory and is not exactly a teaching moment. But there is a call upon us as Christians to be prophetic. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that every Christian is a prophet, because that would be absolute heresy. It is not true. Prophets are made by God. It is a divine function. You don't get to pick who you are. God designs the prophet. And that is because the prophet is a unique mouthpiece. It is as if you're in a band, and instead of just telling you, oh, you've just joined the band, okay, just go over to the music rack and pick a horn. Pick a horn. It's not like that. In this particular function, God takes the musician and fashions that person into the horn. The prophet is the horn. The prophet doesn't go to the musician's rack and say, oh, I think I'll get a trumpet. Oh, I think I'll get a flute. I think I'll get a trombone. God says, you come here. And then he shapes that particular gift into the horn. And that's why each one of us sounds different. Each true prophet has a different sound. But the thing is that the Spirit of the Lord is one. And in the last days, when we are all blowing, the sound will be singular. It will all sound the same. The confusion that you're experiencing now as the church around the world is because you have people like Amanda Grace and Troy Black and every other person lying to you. Julie Green, lying to you. Lance Wolno, lying to you. Kat Kerr, lying to you. Dedekin Clement, lying to you. Lying to you, and you love the lies. And so be it. May you be filled with them. You who do this, eat the pig pods and be full. When the true horns start talking, we will all be talking about Russia coming. We will all be talking about the fallen coming. And we will not have to be robbing, people will not have to be robbing other people's prophecies. They will be able to receive their own unique teaching from the Lord. But concerning the people of God are supposed to be prophetic in nature. What's one aspect of a prophet? We hear the Lord. Why are you born again and you can't hear God? Why is there cotton in your ears? Celestial, I can't hear from God. You don't have to hear from God the way I hear from God, but why can't you hear from him at all? It is deeply concerning. A prophetic people know their God. They gaze into the word of God and they are able to distill out of it the main points. The Spirit is witnessing with you as you read. Class is in session. Your phone is on airplane mode and you are in school and learning. You're able to hear the Holy Spirit. You also have within you the grace to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. A prophetic person hears the Holy Spirit and obeys him, does not take the words of the Holy Spirit or the nudges of the Holy Spirit as something to take under advisement. When you take something under advisement, someone gives you good advice and then you're like, yeah, I'll think about it. I've seen people do that a lot in life. I will tell them exactly what to do and subconsciously or consciously, they're like, yeah, I'll think about it. And when I see people like that, I know that that person wants to smash into the wall a few more hundred times. And then they will go back to the advice and they will put it into motion and immediately will begin to shift from wall smashing into forward movement. We are supposed to be a prophetic people. But when Jezebel, as the Lord says, Jezebel is in the worship leaders and the gospel musicians and is having a field day in the pulpit. This means that Satan is having the time of his life, defiling the very important practice of worship in the church and in the world today. So you're listening to Kirk Franklin and that other queen of the night, Lauren Daigle, the new LGBTQJG poster child that is leaving little subliminals in all her videos and is mirroring the exact water goddess crown of flowers that Beyonce. Have you noticed how many of the gospel artists are starting to model all black? Did somebody die? Why are we blind to the rituals? Why are you blind to the fact that Hollywood does the rituals more obviously for the secular people? And then does it very, very subtly because the gospel artists have to be more careful. It is assumed wrongly that the church is watching the gospel artists, that the church is watching the worship leaders. And so they have to do the rituals more subtly. But they're still doing the rituals right in front of us. The question that nobody is asking 2 years after God gave me the name Lecrae, and I spoke the name Lecrae, and there was such a visceral reaction. No, not him. You're judging him. I will say only this. By his own admission, he said that he has been to a few of the rapper P. Diddy's parties. P. Diddy's parties are known for orgies, sexual orgies. They're known for gay sex. They're known for abuse of alcohol and drugs. Can anyone tell me why a Christian went to not one, but a few of those? I'll let you work it out for yourself. Jezebel's function is to oppose the rise of the prophetic in the church. Jezebel's job was to eradicate Elijah the prophet. That's the only reason she was there. Because when the prophetic arises in the land, as you will hear in this prophecy, in this prayer call, God was saying that he's going to reestablish the office of the apostle and he's going to reestablish the office of the prophet. Now, why would God need to say that he's going to reestablish them? They never went away. God is saying that he's going to reestablish them because these two offices are the most rubbished by people in the church today. The apostle and the prophet are the most mocked. The apostle and the prophet are the two offices that all the ignorant fake Christians out there who imagine themselves the teachers of the church constantly say apostles and prophets are not for today. You're going to see how much we are for today. Because the kind of demons and the kind of principalities that are going to be released in the end days, your pastors are not going to be able to handle it. Go and watch the old prophecy that I made that is called The Fivefold Ministers. It's also on the blog. I will take time to link it in the description below, but as usual, it would take me a few days because I don't watch these immediately. I watch them after a few days. So it will take me time to get the links. But if I can get help putting the links, then I'll put it underneath for you. These pastors are going to run away and leave you with these Nephilim. These pastors are going to run away and leave you with these 19 armed demons that are going to start manifesting, and your little one is going to start. She's only got two arms, but she's going to start manifesting and moving her arm up and down exactly the way Beyonce will do in her little demonic things that she does. And the pastors always claim that the blood of Jesus has done it all. But when you bring your little one to church, your 10-year-old, and the music is good, and she starts moving her arms like that, and you're like, oh no, Melanie, oh no. And then you take her afterwards, and the pastor is looking at what he knows. He never learned at Oral Roberts University one day in his untaught life. And he is not able to take authority over that thing. You will need the new wave of the offices that are coming, because this old wave are not able to handle what hell has been keeping for the end. Satan is not a fool. Satan also has eye has not seen and ear has not heard what I'm going to unleash through my portals in the last days. So we thank God that God also says that eye has not heard and ear has not seen what he's going to be raising up in the body of the Christ, in the body of Christ, that will carry power enough, spiritual impetus. The imprint of Jesus is going to be upon people, not only the leaders, but upon all who believe. The imprint of Jesus Christ himself is going to be inside ordinary men and women to stand up to these creatures and rebuke them, and they will turn aside from the house 15 feet tall and walk away somewhere else. And that's how your house, it's been coming down the street and it has been crunching every other house, and you can hear the thuds coming down, and you will open your mouth. You will open your mouth, your fasted mouth, not the mouth that's been mocking on TikTok. TikTok mocking mouths, I am just, may Jesus help you. I'm talking to the mouths who are storing up oil like wise virgins, Matthew 25. The mouths who they come here and they're like, I'm locked in. This is my home. I'm here to get the goods. I'm not here to tell her that I'm testing her spirit because I've never heard another spirit preaching like this, and I've been going to church for a long time. The fasted mouths. You will hear that thing coming down the street, and you will say, a thousand may fall at my side, 10,000 by my right hand, but it will not come near me. It is not going to come near me. I didn't pay the mortgage on this house for it to be flattened by nobody's toes, including Jack and the beanstalk giant toes. God will hear from heaven. He will honor that confession of faith. That thing will stomp its way down a side street. And so be it. Order is coming back to the church. Prophets have been intimidated for too long. Too much false information that they want glory, that they're renegade. Too many false accusations. Too much ignorance about the office of the apostle. The only person that God will bestow upon that person something like a planet-sized authority, that he can go into a territory where the witch doctor is ruling, because the witch doctor is consorting with some fallen being. And the apostle will go into that area. And because he's carrying the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is in him, is bigger than the authority of that entity that has been ruling through that witch doctor for decades, you will find that place turning from darkness to light. Your average pastor cannot do that. Apostle Paul carried something as an apostle. He set up more than all the other ones, and he said so, rightfully so. He said, because I've labored more abundantly than they all. He was speaking of Peter, James, John, Mark, Luke. Not with disrespect. But Saul, Paul was saying, don't take it lightly what God has accomplished in me. I worked harder than all of them, including the Lord's brothers, he said. And then he said, not I, but the grace that was in me. The true fivefold ministers are coming, and they will labor according, each one according to his grace. Some having their one talent, some having two, some having three, some having four, some having all five. Some manifesting all five. Incredible graces to lay hands and to heal the sick. Incredible graces to give a word of wisdom, to give a word of knowledge. Incredible graces to bring a word of truth. When people will be desperately searching for truth in the end times, nobody's going to preach to you like this in the end times. Our mouths will be shut. The government will be putting people to death. We will be on the run. Everybody will be acting like Jesus is the name of a breakfast cereal that they used to produce in America, and then they stopped. They will be hanging people. I am still having those dreams of public executions. I had one just 2 days ago. They will be hunting people down, seeing myself running and hiding and other people, everyone acting like they never heard the word church since they were born, and rightly so. With Jezebel, the prophetic is attacked. And when the prophetic is attacked, you're not hearing the right now release of the word of God. The reason we're not getting decent music anymore is because all the people that used to make decent music 5-10 years ago, have you seen these people? Let's have this conversation. I will speak of the ones that I have seen. Have you seen the worship icon, Fred Hammond, recently confessing in an interview that a lot of the songs that he wrote, classics in worship, he wrote when he was in extended periods of fornication? And Kirk Franklin boldly stating that a lot of the songs you know and love he wrote while he was naked. And you will still stand up and defend these people because the goats love the goats. You see these worship leaders now, they're doing this thing that clearly shows that they have Kundalini spirit. They're walking up and down and tossing their hair exactly like Black Sabbath and AC/DC and the rock musicians. They are manifesting the same spirit, the same thing that they do in this practice that is called hot yoga. Listen, church, because this is how you walk into the gates of Hades and you call it churches and worship concerts. You see these gospel artists now, they're tossing their hair up and down violently. It's a ritual. It's a ritual. These people, I just spoke, bless God, I just spoke of Moses on his way to stand in front of the people of God with dirt in the closet. When these people cross the line and accept oaths for money, oaths so that they will get Dove Awards, oaths so that they will move a certain amount of records, oaths so that they can become linked to the secular artists and be invited to their house parties, do you think that they're going to come and stand in front of you and testify and tell you that the way they first testified in front of you and told you their testimony of how Jesus found them and he laid hold of me and he changed me, bless God, I'm all the way for Jesus? And that's the old, listen to me, that is the old information that you're working with up to now. You heard their testimony 5, 10, 15 years ago. Oh no, they came up in the church. We know her mother, so-and-so person, was a gospel staple, and now the daughter's walking in the kingdom, and yet at the same time, the daughter is now on stage tossing her hair back and forth like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Foolish Galatians, who deceived you, and how long will you keep sleeping? When Satan is in charge of the worship music and having a sealed day in the pulpit, Jezebel comes. She doesn't come to just stifle the prophetic. She comes to intimidate it. Jezebel made Elijah run. Jezebel made Elijah run. That mighty man who cleansed the entire nation of false worship and false prophets in a single day, she caught him at a low moment and he ran. This spirit will try to intimidate the prophets to shut up. This spirit is why some of you share the videos and then you try to talk about it and you get shut down and you stay shut down. This spirit is the reason that you feel bad when people tell you That's a cult. She's a witch. She's a this and a that. Then you close your mouth and you can't say anything because the spirit that is inside of them is intimidating the prophetic in you to speak forth. If Jezebel is standing in the pulpit and if Jezebel is standing in the worship bay, then the church is highly defiled. The Lord says the goats are in the sanctuary. The goats have taken over the pulpits. And at this time, we will take a brief moment to acknowledge Michael Todd, the leading goat at the moment, because of how explosively illustrative he is. The goats are in the sanctuary. The goats have taken over the pulpit. God is literally acknowledging here why the majority of his people cannot find a church. Those who truly want God, those who truly want to be holy, those who truly want the righteous experience of being washed with the water of the word, coming into God's presence, laying your burdens down, cast all your cares upon me, he says, because I care for you. Take my yoke, he says, and bear my burden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn from me, Jesus says. But then how can you learn when there is no teacher? How can you learn when all the pastors have to offer you is the victory run? And there's precious few of them that are still able to break the Bible open for us and feed us and send us away with the burden removed and the yoke lightened from a difficult work week or a difficult month or a difficult season where you've lost your child to leukemia or you've lost your child to an accident. These are the words of the Lord to the false pastors of the Christian church. This is around the world. God is addressing the false ministers. He is addressing the false prophets. He is addressing those who download their sermon from sermon.com. He is addressing the Baphomets and the elite and the Illuminati pastors around the world. Please don't think that this is a U.S. phenomena. The Baphomet goes around the world. These elite groupings go around the world. God says, you have had your last chance. You are being sat down and removed from the heavenly office. False prophets, false pastors, you take my kindness for weakness. You think because I have tolerated you that I have a part with you, but that is not so. I am the Lord, holy and righteous. I have no part with the wicked. You will be taken down. Come off the field and take off my uniform. You don't represent me anymore. I am not giving you any more time. Come off the field and be removed from the house of God. And so the Lord was saying that he's going to sit down false pastors, false prophets, false leaders, false apostles, anyone else who has, first of all, you styled yourself to be a fivefold minister and you are not. The fivefold ministry is a divine office. It is given by God. You don't take it up. No man takes this honor to himself. It is the Lord who gives it, regardless of if it's evangelist, regardless if it's a teacher. The Lord is the one who assigns to a person that he called you to be a pastor. He called you to be an apostle. So this is a calling. It is not an assignee. And many people have been ordained wrongly at the desire of men. It is the desire of a pastor. Many of these pastors, they ordain their wives or they ordain their friend or they identify a person in the church who has zeal. Just because someone has zeal in the church, okay, and the person has been in the church a long time, and the person has displayed fruit and everything, it doesn't mean that the person is a pastor. And the reason I'm saying this is because all the fivefold offices come with intense warfare. All fivefold offices come with intense warfare, and the warfare varies according to the calling. It varies according to what the vessel can bear, but it also varies according to what the purpose God has for the vessel is. If the Lord has a purpose for the vessel that is very great, the warfare will be out of this world. So if God has given someone a global ministry, an international ministry, then you are going to get straight up pythons and wolves and dragons as your opponents. spiritually. But if you are, for instance, a youth pastor in a church that is no bigger than 200, 300 people, and if you are rightly called, God has that calling upon your life, and your pastor is wise and astute and is praying to God, who should I raise up? And the Lord brings up the image of the young man's face, brings up the name of the person to be an elder, brings up the name of the person to be a deacon or a deaconess. Then yes, when the pastor moves in order and ordains that person, because you are standing rightly in your position, you are a peg, rightly positioned in place, then the warfare will not be as much because the pastor has done rightly. Your pastor ordains you and you are just a faithful deacon, and because you've been a deacon for 10 years and you're faithful and you know how to rightly do the Bible study, and then he now makes you an assistant pastor and a pastor, and yet there's no calling of that office upon you, the warfare will hit you 10 times harder. Why? You were never created to be standing in that position. Both you and the pastor, mostly the pastor who ordained you, are going to have to answer to God for ordaining out of space. And a lot of pastors, they lack discernment. They look at hard work and they think it means that there's a calling there. That doesn't mean that. I see so many people, even up to the apostleship, ordained out of a snowy day. You can look at the person and see that God never picked this person. This one was born of the will of man. And a tree planted of the will of man, I guess, it's just like a GMO fruit, you know? You work at it hard enough and it can produce fruit. It will never be as flowering and it will never be as abundantly fruitful as something that is effortlessly created to do what God has called it to do. And so God is saying that to those who are false, that's the false level of first level of false. They never called you and you just went. You were not sent. You just went, or you were just raised up, you know. God is going to sit you down and remove you from an office that you were never supposed to be in. And these things were covered in 2022. It is called The End of the Way of the Wicked, and the way of the wicked is darkness and thorns, where God was saying that all those who have picked up a microphone and started preaching and he didn't call you, he's just going to remove you because you are a nuisance and you make noise in his ears, and he's going to bring an end to that. And people like Mike Todd and Stephen Furtick are perfect examples of that. And then there are people who are definitely called. They are definitely chosen. This is the T.D. Jakes. This is definitely the Eddie Longs. They were called. The anointing on them. You have to be young and you have to be new to think that T.D. Jakes was always false. And you also have to lack discernment because he was none of those things. He had it. And even the Lord said in the 2021 prophecy, Cornucopia, which talks exclusively about the fall of ministers, Cornucopia part 1, 2, and 3, it's about the fall of ministers. God says that not only did Bishop Jakes used to have it, he had it twice over. He was given a double portion, which is very rare in this earth for God to give you two times over, and to defile that is a great tragedy indeed. And God says that the false pastors, false prophets and leaders and things like that, they have taken his kindness for weakness. And why? Because God bears long. God is very, God exemplifies long suffering. So he says they have taken his kindness for weakness. And they think that because he continues to tolerate them. This is the example of King Saul. Because they still have a ministry and they still have gullible people, goats who come to their church to hear the chief goat preaching. Because the church is still standing, because the church is still existing, because the church is still going on, people without wisdom look at it and say, oh, you see, they haven't fallen and they're still there. And God is saying that he's merely being tolerant. And the fact that he tolerates, they think that God then is saying, I'm with you. I have a part with you. But he says, I have no part with the wicked. And for that, we can just look at Exodus chapter 34 and 1 verse 7, it says here, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And the phrase we're looking for here is by no means clearing the guilty. When God says, by no means will I clear the guilty, he's saying by no means, excuse me, please. By no means am I going to forgive those who are willfully participating in sin. I'm not going to excuse them. I'm not going to overlook what they do. I'm not going to give it a hall pass one more time. And do not take my kindness for weakness. And then he said, come off the field, take off my uniform. You don't represent me anymore, and I'm not going to give you any more time. Come off the field and be removed from the house of God. And at that time, what I saw is, I saw something like a game in session, and God's team was represented by this very beautiful cardinal blue, very beautiful, strong blue uniform with white lettering. And God was standing on the side like a coach, and he was standing like this. That's it. You're out of there. He was pointing to people whose faces I could not make out on the field. And he was going like, you and you and you, you're out of there. Get off the field. And they were like, oh, and they were coming down. And as they were coming down, he was like this. He was making a motion as if to say, take off my jersey, take off my uniform. And they had to take it off, and they were stripped publicly of the right to represent the Heavenly Father. And then he completely sent them off the field, as if he said, get off the field and get off the area. So they had to leave the whole stadium, everywhere the game was in session, everything. They had to completely go away from there. So that's the image that I was seeing as I was speaking forth these strong words and prophesying. And the Lord said, your judgment is settled. Your judgment is Psalm 1, verses 4 to 5. You will be scattered like chaff. You will be scattered. You will not stand with the righteous. You cannot represent me anymore because you are foul. You are like Lucifer. Iniquity has been found in you. I will lay you low in a pit and let times pass over you. Everyone who has given themselves up to the Baphomet, God will expose you. You are foul and out of here. God says no more negotiation. No more asking for mercy or do-overs, because at heart you never change. How art thou fallen, Lucifer, son of the morning? And so when you come to the Master's Voice Prophecy blog, the first thing that you need to understand, especially if you are new here, is that these are not negotiable prophecies. I've often said that it is a curious thing that because people have been trained by the pastors to expect that everything for Christians have to end in a victory. It's just victory. It's just we can't be beaten, rah, rah, rah. These things need to be taken with a wider and a much more sober understanding. You can pray for a lot of things and the Lord will turn it. You can pray for a lot of, you have a bad dream, you see a vision where you can see that someone you know is going to get hurt, or you can even see that children are being trafficked, or the Lord is showing you something. You can pray against that thing, but the one thing that you can't pray away is the end times. No one can pray away Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21. You cannot pray away Revelation 13, Revelation 17, 18, the destruction of the United States, aka Mystery Babylon. You cannot pray away the return of the fallen angels, which is right there in Revelation chapter 12, where it says, and there was war in heaven, and the dragon and his angels fought against Michael, and they were defeated. And there was no place found for them. It says that the dragon fell and the curve of his tail took a third of the stars with him. Those guys are coming down to earth, because further down in Revelation 12, you see an angel crying out, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you. Satan is coming down here, 10 toes or 1,000 toes, however many he has. The devil's going to be present down here, ruling through his beast. Revelation 13 is all about that. You cannot pray away the prophetic reordering of the earth. Jesus himself ordained these painful things, and they will come to pass. He has his reasoning in them. So us, this is part of what it means to be a prophetic people. It is our job to then understand God's motivation in prophecy and adjust our mindsets so that instead of fighting God over his prophecies, we align prophetically with what our Father is saying, and we lean into them in preparedness for where we're going, for where we are headed. So Psalm chapter 1 verses 4 and 5 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And I just made reference to this earlier in the prophecy when I was talking about this cold-hearted younger generation that seems to lack empathy and to lack sympathy and seems to lack respect and understanding for when we've crossed out of the area of jokes. There's an area of jokes, and then there's an area where you see someone talking about God's business and there's nothing funny in it. The person is not laughing, rarely smiling, and yet you are merrily cracking jokes and mocking and doing everything. And then later when you stand in your skin before God and they bring up your whole social media comment history and they start going through it ever since the day you opened the account, will you stand before the Lord? Will you be able to keep your feet as he's reading out the things that you would have said? And he will judge for everything that is not repented of. The ungodly are not going to stand in the judgment of the righteous. Sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. And it's right here in the word of God. And God is saying that these that he will sit down, they're not going to have any part in the righteous judgment. God is basically telling these people that he is going to judge them into eternal darkness and separation from him. They're not going to heaven. The judgment of the righteous, we know that we're going to be with him. Going to be with the Lord does not mean that your works and your acts on earth will not be judged. It means that the Lord shall judge you righteous. That means when he adds up your whole life, he will find that the weight and the heft of it is a very good fruit, a fig tree that bore fruit. And then he will say, after the judgment is complete, enter into the joy of your Lord. But it says here that the wicked, the unrighteous sinners will not stand in the judgment of the righteous. They're going the other way. The Lord is saying he will lay them in a pit and let times pass over them. That is very clearly death. They lay you in the pit, cover you over, and then times pass over you. The years will pass you by. You will be under the soil while the rest of us here are trying to figure out how to avoid the mermaids. Bless Jesus. So that is what the Lord is saying. He's saying that all those who are in the Baphomet society, this is a secret society. In other countries and other continents, it may not be called Baphomet, but you will know that there's a secret group, there's secret covenants, there's secrets that the pastors participate in. These pastors are sleeping with dead bodies for power as part of their ritual covenants, okay? They're going down to the river and they're bathing with strange oils and strange soaps. And then they come and they stand on the pulpit and women scream for them the way women scream for superstars. These men are irresistible because of the things that they've participated in. The churches are exploding in membership, exploding in popularity, and it's not natural growth. This growth is being attracted by spiritual means that are foul and demonic, but those without wisdom can't tell the difference. And so they're coming, they're getting defiled, they're getting sick, they're getting sacrificed in these churches. And why do you think that God will put up with all this hidden stuff? He's going to expose it and then punish these people. And these are the prophecies that I've been speaking, that certain pastors will lose their life. And so God is now saying, warm up, new players. So I was still seeing this vision. And then God, the coach, directed people who had at that time been sitting on the bench. They were all wearing the royal blue of the team, but they didn't have helmets on yet to play the game. So they were sitting and they had the helmets on their laps and they were just sitting in readiness and preparedness watching the game. And then God began to point to them and select among them and tell them, warm up. So they excitedly stood up and they put their helmets down and then they started doing the stretches and everything, preparing their bodies to now go out and play in that close contact sport. Warm up, new players. God is going to send you out. You have been on the benches in training, but now is the time God is bringing you to the forefront to showcase his glory. Now his name will be seen in power and great works of the Spirit, as those who have been on the sidelines preparing in obscurity will start to be showcased and exposed by the Lord. The same way the wicked are exposed for their fallenness and their shameful works of darkness is how these righteous ones will be exposed, and their faces will be everywhere, some of them, because of the size of the spotlight and the platform that God will put on them. They will go from little known to well known. That is the path of the new guard. People who are obedient and will listen to God, not man, with the result that the church will be revived, renewed, and strengthened from the weak and compromised way it was before. So God is going to bring in replacements. God is not going to suffer a gap. God is not going to suffer a vacuum. God is not going to remove these men, though useless, these men and women, though compromised, and then leave room for Satan to exploit the gap. Why is that? It is not because God cares about New Birth Church or Transformation Church or the Potter's House. These places are most likely, definitely the Potter's House, is going to be completely shut down, sold off for assets, sold off for parts, and they're going to put something else in its place. But what God cares about is his sheep. It is very dangerous for the sheep of Jesus Christ to be wandering about on the hills without a shepherd. That is when Satan begins to pick them off one by one. People who are unshepherded, this is when all their old vices, the smoking, the finding comfort in the arms of a man or a woman, the gossiping, the lower base nature begins to rise up in the absence of true discipleship. And you can see the lower base nation, the lower base nature already like twin pythons in the church now, because we do not have true leadership. We just have bobbleheads standing in the pulpit. We have so many churches saying nothing. In many, many nations, the people are groaning because they cannot find anyone to feed them real food. So God is going to strip away the old guard and replace with people that he says have been prepared in obscurity. Think of David. God prepared David, not in the spotlight. God prepared David before David was ever a killer of giants and a great warrior and later a great king and statesman. David was the shepherd boy in the backside of the desert, in the background. When David was fighting the lion to get his sheep out of the mouth of the lion if it bit one, and he said, "I grabbed them by the beard and I slew it." This young man was fearless. Do you know what it is to grab the hair under a lion's mouth and fight it close up? All that hair and teeth, claws, strength. These are the kinds of people that are fit to lead. People who don't start crying when they see bad comments in the comments. People who won't change the whole prophecy just because people are mad because it's Donald Trump. People who sleep soundly after they make videos. Bold, courageous in Christ. Uncompromising, will tell the truth whether people like it or not. God has trained these people in the background away from the noise of mouths and crowds and taught them to listen only to him. So when these people come out, the crowds will be talking, "Who's this? Who's this?" And those people won't care. They will simply step up and say, "The message that I have from you for the Lord today, for the short time that I will be with you," boom, 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 and there will be real transformation. So he says, to the same extent that the wicked, the bad pastors, to the same extent that they're going to be all over the news, God says that some of those that he will raise up, he will give them that same kind of exposure, that same kind of spotlight. They will go from little known to well known. That's the path that some of them will walk, but they will all be called by him. And as a result of this refreshing new blood into the church will wake up just like somebody who has had a blood transfusion. She's going to be revived, renewed, and strengthened in her walk from the weak and compromised way that she used to be. The next part of the prophecy, God just suddenly said, William Murphy, you are judged by the Lord your God. You are a harlot in the body of Christ. A harlot is someone who exchanges her most precious virtues, her body, in exchange for money and favors. This is, in other words, a person who can easily be bought. God says, you are a joker in the pulpit who has gone the way of all flesh for the sake of money. What I just explained, the way of all flesh means that all of us are capable of being corrupted if the price is high enough, but only some of us actually get corrupted because the price is high enough. You are a joker in the pulpit who has gone the way of all flesh for the sake of money. You have sold out to the elite for money. You would sell your own mother for money. You want to appear godly, but I have seen you and you have no spiritual substance in you. You are rotten. You are a carcass. You seek to appear righteous, but are not. You are feeding God's people pig slop. The pig pods that the prodigal son would have eaten if he could, that is what you give my people. The church is distended. Its belly is stretched to capacity. And all around the world, the people of God are full of pig pods. This is what the pastors give them. This is what the pastors feed them, and this is what they crave. And I tell you, I was seeing an image of a pastor with a very big belly, and his belly was huge and uncomfortable. And out of his mouth, I saw the reason for such a huge belly. He was eating the pods that the pig ate, that the pigs were fed by the prodigal son. He had eaten so much of them that they were now starting to, you know, when babies eat and when they're full, they start to play with the food and they begin to squeeze it back out through their mouth. This man had become so gorged on the pig pods that the pig pods were now coming back out of his mouth in a very disgusting oatmeal-like way, and I could see into his belly that he was so full of it, and yet he was still preaching. Walking up and down on the pulpit with that stuff dripping off the sides of his mouth, and his belly was full of it. And as he was preaching, that is what was coming. It was like coming into the people, and they were also receiving it, and their bellies were also getting full until it started to come out of their mouths, and yet they were not moving. They were not disgusted by what they were being fed. They were just in place, and they were still taking of that unclean thing. And I continue, William Murphy, the Lord God says to you that he has your number. And if you don't take your time to consider your ways and how you are going, God will punch your ticket out. If you do not take care, you will have the same endings that others have already been given. As I see them now, T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn, and many more, they are in darkness. Their lot is already in darkness, and if you are not careful, you will be moved across the line and judged into darkness with them. So as we were praying and as I was speaking out this word, I saw something like not a lotto ticket. It is when you go to places, when you go to events and you have a specific seat, not even like the movies, slightly fancier places, they give you a ticket and your seat will be written G22 or something like that. There was a ticket and the ticket puncher was poised already with a ticket inside it. As the Lord was saying that if Bishop William Murphy is not careful and if Bishop William Murphy does not take time with how he is dealing with God's people, with how he is ministering his church, with what he is teaching the church, and how he is progressing, including selling out to the elite for money, God is going to punch his ticket out of here, and I'm sure you understand that that means death. God says if he doesn't take care, he's going to have the exact same ending that has already been decided for those like T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn, and many more. And as I saw them, I saw darkness, and I saw all these people dressed in darkness. But they were not dressed in the way that I've sometimes seen them, as if they are going to their evil elite Baphomet rituals. I saw them dressed in dark clothing, and there was a line, and they had been judged to the left side of the line. So I was seeing the line, and I was seeing them on this side, and they were extremely terrified. They were extremely afraid. They were men, but they were sort of like this, and the two prominent in the front that light was not shining on them, but I could see who their faces were. One was T.D. Jakes, and the other one was Benny Hinn, but they were huddled with many, many, many people behind them, but the two most prominent whose faces I recognized was T.D. Jakes and Benny Hinn, and they were in darkness. As God says, their lot is already in darkness, but God is saying to Bishop William Murphy that if you are not careful, you will be moved across this line and judged into darkness with them. The next thing that the Lord was saying is that the Lord God says he is bringing back the office and the function of apostles and prophets. These are the foundation of the church, but the body of Christ has gotten away from that. Prophecy will be reestablished as an office in the earth. It is not a game or a toy or a joke. Apostles will be sent out once more to all nations to win souls for the Lord and battle the principalities and the powers that have taken over many nations. So when principalities and powers take over the nations, the things that you can expect to see as you can expect to see a startling advent, or a startling advent means start, or a startling rise, a sharp spike in things like murders, in things like rape, especially of the young. So the ages of who's getting raped will start to get younger and younger and younger, and it will also start to include males, because wherever these spirits are, the spirit of perversion will always come there and start to rape same-sex to same-sex in order to introduce perversion into the society, because young males raped will usually grow up and begin to pivot towards their own sex, especially if that was the first sexual experience that they had. You can expect to see rituals. This is people going missing, and when you find the body, there will be sacrificed parts, an arm will be missing, a wrist will be missing, eyes will be missing, soft tissue like breasts and genitals will be missing. And I think it was many years ago that I was sharing in one of these prophecies how God says that ritual death is very high here, for instance, in the United States. But he says that the sheriffs and the deputies and the police and everything, they do not report it as what it is. So God says when they know, when they find a body, that the body has been used in satanic rituals. They know, because when soft tissue is missing, breast is missing, genitals are missing, the throat has been cut out, the eyes have been gouged out, certain specific digits are missing, they know that the person was used for rituals, but they will simply record it as homicide, and they will not be detailed because they don't want piling up of reports that Satanism is active, alive, and well in this country. But it is. And so when principalities and powers are there, you can expect the people to be very free, very licentious, lots of clubbing, love of hedonism, you know, just pleasure-oriented, things like that, a lot of violence, a lot of greed, a lot of political intrigue, a lot of corruption, that kind of thing. And God is saying that he's sending people, the apostles specifically, carrying the kingdom of God in them to enter into these darkened territories like Peter and like Apostle Paul and them used to do, and begin to turn the tide. Because when the kingdom of God is brought in successfully by the apostles, what then happens is that prophetic preaching and teaching can then follow. That's why it's called the doctrine of the apostles, and that's why it says the foundation is built upon the apostles and the prophets. And scriptures you can look at for that are Ephesians 2:20 and Acts chapter 2 in verse 42. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Prophets and apostles do the grunt work. Apostles go into hostile areas to take over territory where principalities have been ruling supreme and unchallenged. The prophets will then come after the church is established, because after a little while, when the church has been established, the apostles have settled the doctrine, and the people have been taught by teachers, raised up and mentored by pastors, prophets will usually come in, because God says, after a little while, when people start to do well, they always turn. And this is a fact of human nature. When we start to do well, this is where pride can come in. This is where complacency can come in. This is where, oh, I'm the best. I didn't get the being the best just by nothing. I can't be challenged. And then they begin to turn. The prophet comes to say, turn back to the way of holiness and righteousness. Turn back to when you first knew and loved your God. Turn back, repent, and accept his correction. Apostles establish the way. They go out basically through the jungle, hacking and establishing a path. Prophets will then follow after when people turn, to turn them back to that way that the apostles first established. And so you have heard the prophetic word that was given to me 6 months apart, September 19, 2023, March 15, 2024. The word is titled, The Purging of the Church, a very necessary action that starts to happen, that needs to happen before the Spirit of God can be allowed to flow again greatly in our midst. We call for revival. God will never pour out revival upon a compromising and filthy church. That's like being invited to an event, not taking a bath after a full day of working in the fields, and then putting on clean clothes and going to sit among other people in a tuxedo. You will carry that stench with you, and it will be quite a distress to everyone who has to sit next to you for the entire evening. I am Celestial, and this is the Master's voice. You can find most of the prophecies of the last 4 years written down on www.the-masters-voice.com. The more recent prophecies have not been written down, but when there is a cache of time, I will start to put them up as the Lord God allows. But for now, you have the videos. I take the time, I take the effort to make sure that all of these are available to you. So God bless you, and until I see you again, goodbye.